following program has adult language and potential spoilers. Listener be advised.
Welcome back to the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. I'm your moderator, Diablo Frank, and I'll soon be joined by my co-hosts and best friends, Mr. Fix-It.
Mr. Fix-It.
And Illegal Machine.
I'm Illegal Machine.
Annihilation Day. A destructive force punctures through the edge of our universe and slaughters millions of worlds. The moment this annihilation wave tore into our universe is marked as Annihilation Day. Days later, Annihilus, the wave's undisputed ruler, and his armada reveal himself, claiming that our universe is expanding into and thereby destroying his own universe.
The Drax miniseries was when Drax was still a big dumb guy with brain damage that his daughter Moondragon had inflicted upon him. He falls to Earth, he dies, and then when he's resurrected, he comes back to being the slim, muscular badass that he used to be.
With knives.
With tats.
He's Riddick from the Vin Diesel movies. Yeah.
He's exactly like Riddick from...
And then he adopts this little girl, and he fights a bunch of other aliens, and they all get picked up, and that's the end of that. Then in the Annihilation prologue, alien insects from the Negative Zone from Fantastic Four comics invade our dimension, or I guess our positive matter universe, whatever the fuck it is. Yeah, in Marvel.
Positive zone.
And they start trashing all of the Marvel space characters, especially the Nova Corps, who were basically Marvel's Green Lantern Corps. And they all got wiped out except for Richard Rider, the last human, of course, Earthling, Nova Patrolman, what the hell they call the guys?
Corman.
Space cops, Marines type guys. What else happened in the prologue? They started capturing the Heralds of Galactus.
Torturing them. That's when they reveal, hey, we're trying to somehow channel cosmic power to Annihilus.
And I think, wasn't that also where they revealed that Thanos was working with Annihilus?
Correct.
And they were picking up a bunch of threads from the short-lived Thanos ongoing series, which only lasted about a year.
Right. And then nobody read, but they gave you no background on it.
Yeah, I really wish we had read that before we came back to Annihilation.
Nah.
That's not very good.
I liked it. We'll follow that up in a later time, though. So they did a Super Skrull miniseries where they introduced the group of people from the Negative Zone that were trying to fight their own boss man. And the only one that was significant was Praxagora, the robot chick, with the Heart of a Sun powering her. And then Super Skrull appeared to die at the end of that miniseries. Silver Surfer's miniseries, all that really did was introduce Ravenous, the Herald of Annihilus, like his main centurion, his main strongman. And it set up Silver Surfer going back to working with Galactus. And what was the other one? Mr. Fix-It wasn't on the Ronin podcast. That's the only one that he missed out of all the Annihilation stuff.
Oh, I don't remember that one.
You don't remember? That was the one where he fought Gamora?
Nope.
And all the ladies, the Graces. Basically, they took all the alien ladies that they could think of and put them on Gamora's team because they're all women, so of course they'd all work together and get along. And then Ronan got accused of betraying the Kree, and he's trying to clear his name and find the Grace that could clear his name. You don't remember any of that stuff?
Nope. Good, because it's not.
Yeah, it's terrible. It's terrible. Great art. Nice art, though. I did like the art on that one. And what happened to the Nova miniseries? Since that's the most memorable one.
The core got wiped out pretty much.
That was in the prologue.
Was in the prologue, right. So he absorbs the Nova consciousness,
index, world mind, whatever the hell
it's
called.
The world mind.
And so he has all the knowledge of the Nova.
So now
Corps.
He's like Uber. I'm not going to say he's a supernova. He's. Fuck.
There actually was a character called Supernova. I remember the most powerful Alpha Centurion or whatever the fuck.
So anyway, it's him absorbing all this power. And he meets up with Drax and Cammy.
And Drax teaches him how to be a warrior instead of just a superhero type guy.
Yeah, because he's a big time puss. Plus, he's sort of going back and forth with that world mind. In his
brain. And he keeps trying to just blast everything and get his rage out without being strategic about it.
Right. Yeah. Oh, and Quasar dies.
Yeah, and Quasar, who's really cool.
You ended that series going, man, I wish there was a Quasar-Nova ongoing series because they work so well together and they play off each other really well.
Because they were setting up
and
Richard.
They kill Nova.
Yeah.
I mean, Quasar. Sorry.
Because Quasar is the good, sweet, heroic guy. And then at that point, Nova's becoming more of the warrior. So they played off well together. And then so much for that. And Annihilus kills Quasar and takes his quantum bands, which have been floating around the Marvel Universe. Didn't Marvel Boy have those back in the 50s?
I think I had the quantum bands.
I remember that. I think it was hair was white.
Seventh grade, maybe, accidentally. Yeah. I found them in an old locker.
We haven't revealed, but Mac is, in fact, Rick Jones.
Yeah. Surprise. Sorry. It's out there. I'm a BJ and the Bear looking motherfucker.
How'd that board work out for you? The board you had to tie to your ass to go into the Marlowe? I was trying to get a little continuity into the podcast there.
Yeah.
That's a Hulk joke.
That's a Hulk joke. Because the Hulk's penis. The Hulk's penis is probably.
It's gamma radiated.
Gamma radiated, folks.
So now we're here. Now we're at the end.
Yeah, this is it. Annihilation Day plus 220. Drax the Destroyer with his daughter Moondragon free the Silver Surfer from Annihilation's stasis field. Upon his release, the Silver Surfer frees Galactus, the Devourer of Worlds, from his containment. Galactus is the oldest living thing in the universe, and quite possibly the most powerful. And now, Galactus is angry. Ronan the Accuser frees the Kree planet Hala from Annihilus' forces. Shortly after Ronan's victory, the entire Kree army turns to Ronan to free their empire. Shouldering this massive responsibility, Ronan will prove why the Kree are feared throughout the universe. Ravenous, Annihilus' second-in-command, is not finished fighting Ronan and the Kree. He is regrouped with his insect army and is preparing to attack Hala from space. Nova, Phyla, and Peter Quill teleport into striking range of Annihilus. Nova's plan, to fight Annihilus one-on-one. He knows it's a suicide mission, but he doesn't care. Annihilus slaughtered the Nova Corps and countless worlds. He's been fighting the Annihilation Wave for the better part of a year. Nova can't take the killing any longer. Today, one way or another, it ends.
A lot of dramatic pauses there.
Yeah, no, they're not mine. They're here.
There's no ellipse. There's one ellipsis.
There are two ellipses after today.
I think it's ellipses.
Today, comma, ellipsi, one way or another, ellipsi, then a page break, fucking space, then another ellipsi, and it says it ends.
I think you were trying to pull a Shatner on us. You shat all up on that thing.
Thank you.
Hey, Shatner's coming to town, you know.
Oh, you're thinking of Santa.
No, Bill Shatner's coming to town. He's going to be at Bay City Con, if I recall correctly.
Really?
Yeah. Shatner and Red from Orange is the New Black, also known as Captain Janeway. Was that the? Yeah,
oh,
okay.
Right.
Yeah. I can't believe I remember that. Of all the things in my life that I've forgotten, I remembered fucking Captain Janeway from goddamn Voyager.
Shout out to Star Trek Voyager and Captain Janeway. I would have never in a million years pulled Captain Janeway out of my ass.
Well, did you ever watch that show?
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah. I watched the season with 7 and 9 when she was first getting involved.
She was.
Mm-hmm. She sure was.
Yep. A good actress. All right, guys. Well, this is
so big. It's like, I don't even know how to really get started talking about it.
Should we start on Annihilation Day 165 or 167?
Right.
Just jump straight to Annihilation Day 220.
I know, right? Yeah, so that was the synopsis given in the final issue of the book. So
right, that was,
if you didn't read the miniseries, we've already spoiled 5/6 of the goddamn thing for you.
Yeah. What did we think about? Are you going to start with what do we think about this miniseries? Or are we going to go through? This has been a long journey for us.
Yeah, because I mean, okay. Should we, like, so let's give them sort of the secret origin of the podcast.
Yes.
When we finally decided we were going to record, we buckled in and decided this is going to happen. I grabbed a box of all these Annihilation books that Mr. Fix-It had loaned to me, which had come from Fryhold, if I remember correctly, initially. And I had the hubris to believe that we were going to get through the entire event in one podcast. 90 minutes later, I think 3 miniseries roughly later, we realized that that was absolutely not going to happen. Here it is, essentially a year later, and now we're finally finishing this goddamned event. And it's a big miniseries to boot, so it's still a big chunk of material to talk about.
Right, and I think once we got through all the mini,
we're burned out.
Well, because so many of them were terrible.
Yeah, that didn't help.
Including Nova. Was Quasar a miniseries, or he just in Novas?
No, he was in Novas. Quasar was so good in the Nova miniseries, we want to afford him his own miniseries.
Right. So we
because Nova was so much better than all the other ones.
So what we've always suggested people do is read the prologue.
Mm-hmm, which was by Keith Giffen, the guy who was the mastermind behind this project, who
Nova.
Also writes the main miniseries, Annihilation.
Read the Nova mini.
Which was Dan Abnett and Andy Lanning, who went on to do most everything else related to Annihilation, including the Guardians of the Galaxy, as we know them from the movies.
Read the miniseries and just be done with it. Skip Super Scroll.
Well, I actually like Super Scroll, though.
Skip Super Scroll.
Ronan.
I mean, you can read it if you want to.
Ronan was fucking horrible.
Ronan. Skip Drax, that's not really part of it.
Wait.
Hey, wake your shit up. You talk some.
Okay.
Well, we've already talked. He doesn't need to talk.
No,
he's not going to talk about Ronan.
His levels are like almost non-existent. That's why I want to read it.
Oh, well.
That's what Levelator's for, thankfully.
The only thing I would have really enjoyed more in the book is I found Drax to be a little annoying. Actually, the little girl, Cammy, I think her name is.
Are you talking about from the Drax miniseries that preceded?
Well, no, even in the Annihilation.
Yeah, I forgot. Giffen wrote the Drax miniseries, too. I forgot that.
Yes.
So it's Drax mini. If we're just going by Giffen, it's Drax miniseries, Annihilation prologue. He did Silver Surfer, and then he did the actual Annihilation. So he wrote a substantial portion of this, but about half of it sucked.
Yeah. Well, I just thought, when I was reading the rest of this Annihilation, I was like, it'd be so cool if she was in his, like, an imagination. That was some part of his brain that was helping him stay tethered to our reality. And I was like,
okay,
that would
so
be kinda cool.
just to clarify, dude, Cammy is the Earth girl,
which made no
that got
sense.
Adopted by Drax for no apparent reason in the Drax miniseries,
no,
and then gets drugged throughout this miniseries. Was really funny in the Nova miniseries, and then went back to being pretty annoying in this one.
Okay, so
found her annoying.
Let's just do a quick recap of the 6-issue Annihilation miniseries. Okay, first issue,
it starts out with Starship Troopers. If you've seen Starship yes. Troopers, that's where we're beginning.
They're on some estranged Kree outlying world fighting off a giant realm, making what they believe to be their last stand. And we got everybody together at this point, right?
Pretty much, yeah.
By the end of the issue, we've got everybody together.
Well, everybody that they're using, because I think they must have been isolated from certain sci-fi. Like they won't use the Shi'ar. The Shi'ar are backing off and not getting involved in the war yet.
Right.
That keeps all the X-Men and shit out of it. And they make a point of saying that the Badoon aren't involved. And I don't know enough about the Badoon to even know why that would be a big deal.
Yeah, it's not.
They talk about them like they're Kuns from DC, like they basically the Klingons, but I don't know enough about them. Is Blastar Badoon, or is that a whole other thing?
No, the Badoon are the insects.
No, the
right?
Badoon, no, I think they're different.
I thought the Badoon were the insects that fought the X-Men.
No,
that's the Brood.
The Brood! Oh.
Who also are not involved with this, because all the X-Men properties that are
Who
sci-fi
the
are out of there.
Badoon?
There's something to do with Fantastic Four.
I can't remember.
You have to look that shit up. See, if we'd actually done the Ohatmu podcast, we would have already gotten to the Badoon and know what the hell we're talking about.
How can I help you?
What is the Badoon?
The Badoon are a reptilian alien species in the fictional Marvel Comics universe. They are notable for living under strict gender segregation, resulting in two separate societies, the Brotherhood of Badoon and the Sisterhood of Badoon.
Fuck Suri.
That was incredible.
I thought for sure you were going to get a spit tune or something.
Hey, you know what's weird? She sounded a lot like the Idol-Headed Diablo host.
Oh, fuck off.
The Martian Manhunter's first appearance was 1957.
By the way, just to get it out of the way, too, because I want to be mentioning this a lot. Andrew DeVito really fucking kicked ass on the art on this miniseries. And the Kree looked so fucking good in their spiffy little fascist outfits and shit.
I want to get to all this later.
Okay. The Kree are there, and they look really fucking cool because they're drawn by Andrea DeVito.
Okay, so...
Which I don't know if I'm supposed to pronounce it Andrea or not, because that is a dude, just to clarify.
So, okay, so let's go... I want to do a fast recap of these six issues, because I want to talk more about...
Well, and we also have to mention, too, before we forget, that Peter Quill is in this series, but he doesn't go by Star-Lord because some tragedy happened where he doesn't use that name anymore.
He specifically tells you I don't go by.
In this particular version where he's a cyborg comes right out of the Thanos ongoing series that we haven't read yet. Dope.
Okay.
And for the most part is nothing at all like the dude from the movie.
Right.
I mean, he's sarcastic, but he's much more of a acidic, dark place that he's coming from.
Okay. So they have this battle on the Kree homeworld, right? Or this Kree
I think it's just an outlying world.
It's just a Kree outlying fucking bullshit world. It's like Kree's Pluto. They're fighting everybody off. The Heralds come in, right?
Well, but before that too, what was cool is the Kree were ineffectual. These guys are supposed to be the baddest military around, but because they're being led by House Fiero, who are involved with commerce, who've somehow managed to successfully what is the term I'm looking for? They've had bit of a coup.
Yeah, it's
and
a bit of a coup.
Yeah. And they're terrible with the military stuff. They're not directing the troops correctly, and Ronan's really pissed off about it, and he's starting to take control of the troops, even though he's an outcast accuser judge of theirs, because nobody else can rein these guys in and get them to fight effectively but Ronan.
Yeah. Ronan is really good in these six issues. He starts at one point just murder these guys?
Well, no, there's a captain who's trying to say, you're not of Kree anymore. This is concerning you. We are House Fiero. And he just fucking blasts the guy and goes, are you guys going to follow me or not? And they follow him.
They're like, okay, let's follow you.
Yeah. Well, the rank and file are behind Ronan. They believe in him. They love him. It's the higher ups that are the bureaucracy that wants to tear him down. Because they can see how effective he is. He's one of the only guys who's killing these bugs very well.
And then on the other side, you've got Annihilus, and his shit's getting more and more powerful because they've captured Galactus and Silver Surfer.
Oh, that happens later in the miniseries, actually.
I'm just recapping the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you the whole thing that happened. We're not going to go issue by issue.
Okay.
No, because there's no need to do that. People need to go read this.
Well, I do have to point out, though, there was that moment during that battle where Richard Ryder decides he's going to have to just blow up the area, just napalm, nuke it, whatever the hell, strike from above. And there's this one Kree soldier who's like giving him the thumbs up. It's like, yeah, Richard Ryder's here to save us. And they all get fucking nuked. I thought that was a really keen moment.
That's save thousands or save millions of lives.
Right.
That's where he had to decide that.
But it's that because Nova's in their midst when the bombs are going off, but he's the one who's ordered the strike. Like, they're like, oh, you know, cheering him on. It's like, yeah, maybe we're going to make it after all. I was like, no, you're not going to make it. I'm just watching you guys die because I feel bad. And I guess this is his self-flagellation or something.
So the whole time these six issues are going on, they're sort of foreshadowing to, I mean, we all knew, right? Thanos seems to have some sort of ulterior motive.
Always.
Right? Always. So, you know, he keeps helping. He's the one who developed this machinery that's enslaved Galactus.
And he's also the one who talks the two Galacti guys, the Aegis, and what's the other guy's name? Terabyte?
Ancient ones.
Two other Galactus guys that Mastodon. They just introduced in this event who team up and beat up Silver Surfer and Galactus and allow Thanos and Annihilus to capture Galactus, figure out the workings of his ship, and basically turn him into a power battery where he absorbs, through him and his machinery, they can kill and devour worlds, take their energy, but they're only giving Galactus a tiny bit of that energy to survive, and the rest of it's being used to power up Annihilus' forces.
But they do go into the concept of the cosmic energy energy? Is it a soul? Is it, you know, it has
They're like, they're pure energy beings, and the matter that we see on Silver Surfer and Galactus are just sort of like vestigial elements of them. They're really pure energy or pure soul, some shit like that.
Yeah, so they try to go in a little bit more in depth on what powers Galactus. Because they even get to the point where this energy doesn't actually power his physical form. It powers whatever's inside of him that feeds the physical form. So they're getting real deep into, there's some power source that, I mean, I guess the hand of God or the essence of God that's going through these beings that are powering them, that Annihilus wants to, I guess, control and use for himself, because he seems almost kind of like I almost got a sense like he was a perpetual child the whole time. He's like, Annihilus want, Annihilus gets. Yeah,
everything's mine, yeah, all for me. Just, no like, one can, I can, he can't share. Yeah.
It personality all the way. So he was kind of limited that it's weird. Apparently in his universe, he's super powerful and he leads.
Well, who do you know from the negative, you know, universe? You know, Annihilus.
Was there. Well, I know they had a prison there. Blastar was in a prison.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, they had a prison there at one time. Hell, I think even they did that in Civil War.
Well, no, there was a moment in here where basically things don't go well for the heroes. And at one point, Ryder falls back to Earth and is thinking about going to Earth and seeing if he can't rally the heroes to go fight in Annihilation. And it just so happens that the Civil War is going on at that point in time. And he's like, the House Divided can't stand. These guys can't work together right now. They're just going to die and be cannon fodder. There's no point in dragging them into this. I've got to figure out something else besides bringing in the Marvel heroes, which is a nice way of sidestepping that particular issue.
Well, but at one point, no, there was multiple people in the negative verse. I remember because I remember reading a series. I don't know if it's the next series to Annihilation, because Conquest is next. There's Annihilation.
They did the Thanos War or some shit, the Cancerverse thing. Which one was that?
That comes off.
That's part of Guardians of the Galaxy or what?
I'm trying to remember. This turned into their Infinity Gauntlet, where you had Infinity Gauntlet, then you had Infinity War. And in Infinity Quest, they kind of just kept feeding off of the main story arc. They just kept going and going with it. But I remember there was one where there's a prison in the negative zone. At one point, Blastar's there. I think, I'm pretty sure that has to do with the quest. I'm not sure. I'd have to go back. I guess we'll have to read that crap.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Okay. And another important part, too, is that to establish, you had Captain Marvel, the guy who was a Kree who got tied up in with cosmic doings and became the defender of the universe. But then he died young. And it turned out, I think they made children for him, or like with his clone material or some crap like that. But anyway, he had a daughter and a son, and the son was known as Legacy. I believe he was introduced in the Silver Surfer annual as part of that 1993 annual event where they try to create a character in every single annual and give them their own trading cards and try to launch him. Fabian Nicieza did a short-lived series about Legacy called Captain Marvel, and then eventually the Peter David series was about that character, Genus. Then that guy died at some point, which I don't know about. You'd have to fill in that particular detail. His lesbian sister, they try to enlist her to be the next Captain Marvel, and she kind of refuses because she's not ready yet. She instead hooks up into a romantic relationship with Moondragon, who is established as bi or lesbian in the same series of Captain Marvel. They're off together, and then Thanos shows up. For some reason, rips off Moondragon's ears, pimp slap.
Oh, that was to send a Drax to kind of give him a warning.
Yeah, but why did he do that? That's actually a moment that bothered me, because I don't know why he's trying to get Drax involved in the first place. But he rips off Moondragon's ear, throws it at Phi Lavelle, the female Captain Marvel that's white, and then teleports away with Moondragon. And he uses her to telepathically scan Annihilus's mind and to find out that his true goal is to destroy both the positive and negative universes and be the sole surviving entity in all of creation.
Right, and so Thanos is like, tell me what you saw. She's like, it's kind of hard for me to explain it.
His thoughts are just a buzzing and like mental images, but not.
And he's like, well, then show me what you see. And he does it. And Thanos is like, my God. Like, even he can't comprehend how jacked up this guy is.
Which is funny, because him of all people, I mean, he tried to wipe out most of the universe's own self.
Which I was like, are you serious? Like, that was what Thanos' whole thing was. He wanted to murder the entire universe and rule over it, right? With death?
Because, I mean, they revealed his motivation to getting involved with Annihilus was just because he wanted to see what would happen if you tilted the balance of the universe and played around with things. But even he is aghast at this. It's like, come on, Thanos, you're the mad god titan. You wanted to kill everybody. So in some ways, if it has insight into Thanos that I think works and was more thoughtful about that character than a lot of other writers who've written him. And other times, dude, come on. Do you not know who this guy is?
This is Thanos. Like, this is Thanos. Come on.
about that. Talked about that.
I like that Drax cooks and eats the bugs that he kills because he realizes that field rations are finite.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of a cool scene.
I don't like that Cammy continues to hang out with him for most of the miniseries and that she shows serious sociopathic tendencies. And if they were going to keep her around, I'd like her to do a villainous turn and turn out to be a total psycho.
I thought it would be great if she was imaginary. So Kree soldiers would have to be like, oh, that's Drax. Remember, if he's talking to somebody, pretend to pick up somebody and run with them. So Drax thinks he's running away. I just thought it would be kind of a nice twist to think that Drax is kind of batshit crazy. Because his whole goal in life is to kill Thanos. That's why I think he took Moondragon's ears. Because he has no other goal.
That's just it. You don't need to inspire Drax to come after Thanos. He's been doing it the entire time ever since he regained his normal persona and his normal modus operandi.
Well, I've never liked the fact that Thanos seemed fearful of Drax. I just...
In the miniseries?
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression. I never got the impression that he was afraid of Drax.
Why would you send him a threat to stay away?
He's not a threat to stay away. He's a threat for him to come.
To come with. He's like, come, I've got Moondragon. Here's
right
here.
Because I thought they played it up where she was like, Marvel's like, that was a threat to keep you away, to make sure you stayed away. She actually...
No, I didn't get that at all.
There's a scene where she tells him that. Tells him that. They ask her, why did he give you the ear? And she's like, because he wants you to stay away. You're going to interfere. Because Thanos had this whole plan working. I think Thanos had
Here it is. Okay. She said, okay, this is, what's her name? Phalia?
Phi Lavelle.
I was helpless. The energies Thanos used to bind me were alien. I couldn't manipulate them. I'd never been so helpless. And she hands the box to Drax. Drax says, an ear? She says, your daughter's ear. Thanos left it as a warning to you. And then Cammy's like, you told me your daughter was dead.
Yeah.
And he says, Heather died. Hmm. Warning. She says, don't play games with me. You know what he wants. And he says, he wants me to keep my distance. He will be sorely disappointed.
That's all assumption on their part, though. Thanos never says, I'm worried about Drax. And I think that it was part of his master plan for Drax to do exactly what he does.
I think he was I'm taking her out.
Right. That's what it is. Here's an ear now. If you keep coming after me, you're going to get the rest of the body part.
Yeah. Maybe.
Except Drax goes, I don't give a shit about my daughter because I'm programmed to kill
Thanos. Yeah, because if you really read into him, he's just obsessed with him. There's nothing else he has to live for.
And then Cammy goes, she's got the box with the ear in it and goes, can I keep this?
Just like she did with the body in the miniseries.
Yeah, right. She wanted to keep the body.
I'm telling you, if they had continued with this, if Keith Giffen had continued to write the character, if she didn't turn out to be a total sociopath and got like superpowers that allowed her to do fucked up shit, then I would have serious problems with the whole characterization because that seemed to me the direction they were going with that character. But more importantly, I don't want this character to appear in any other comics ever again, it doesn't matter.
There is no reason. And that was the one thing. I hated her in that first series, and I picked up on the exact same things you did. This chick is freaking not a good person.
Yeah.
This is a terrible person. And I don't know if Giffen just thinks like, oh, this will be hilarious. She wants to keep the ear. Like, I don't understand the motivation to write her this way.
Yeah.
Like, this is nothing redeeming about this girl. She doesn't make Drax any more human. I'm just hoping she gets hit by a stray bolt and blown to pieces.
You know, here's a spoiler. She ultimately is left hanging out in some alien culture somewhere. They make mention of Drax maybe trying to find her and pal around with her again, which doesn't really make sense to that character anyway. But also, how is that better for her to be stuck in this alien environment, a little girl amongst all these creepy alien guys? As bad as things might have been on Earth, at least she was among her own people and could navigate those people more effectively, I would think, than fucking aliens. So it's just a weird, fucked up subplot that I could have done without entirely.
And then, hence, you get the miniseries where she's a serial killer on an alien planet.
That's what I'm saying, though. That's the way I think it would have to go. If they'd gotten like a Drax series out of this at some point, she would have been the one who went nuts and turned or something.
No, I'm telling you, they do a miniseries where she's a serial killer on an alien planet, and Drax has to take her out because he made her that way. He carried her around.
Really? Oh,
well, that would have been okay.
Well, then maybe this all makes sense, then.
But that didn't actually happen. Yeah. He's saying that's what he would want to see happen.
I thought you said that's what they ended up doing.
Yeah.
No, that'd be cool.
No, what you were saying was that you wish she was a figment of the magic.
Oh, yeah.
That's why I didn't. Sorry. That's why I was like, what are you talking about?
Well, no. Because I watched some of that Agent of S.H.I.E.L.D. and they have that one character who's damaged, brain damaged, and he keeps seeing the female character.
Well, for a little bit there. Yeah. They stopped that after a bit.
But I kind of like that. I kind of like that where he can't interact with everybody, so he's interacting with his little portion of his brain that's created her.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought that'd be kind of cool for Drax, because Drax is already one single-minded, I got to kill Thanos. And then you have this little piece of his brain that's telling him, well, let's kind of be normal. Let's do normal stuff. Like, be social. And he can't. But of course, that's where I thought it would be, where if Giffen's kind of humor would be played up, where, you know, they all Kree kind of know, like, oh, Drax is batshit crazy, so if he's talking to somebody, just pretend someone's in the room. So if Drax tells you, pick her up and run off, just pretend to pick something up and run away. And Drax is going to think she's running away and she's safe, and he'll keep doing doing his thing. And I thought that would be kind of like, you know, everyone knows Drax is crazy and he's really dangerous, so just play along. I just thought, that would be kind of cool. But they were like, no, she's real. And I'm just like, so he's well dragging established. A human being across
the universe. Well, that's the thing. They keep ditching her throughout the series.
And she never wants to get killed.
Why is she here if you're just going to keep ditching
her? I think it was a running gag.
Soldiers that are being slaughtered, yet a, what, 15-year-old?
No, she's not that old. She's like 12, I
really?
Think.
And she's surviving all this shit.
Right.
Like, oh, so.
I guess it's possible that was an editorial.
I think it was a gag. I think there was supposed to be a running gag and it just didn't work that great.
No, not at all.
Just like with the Nova miniseries, I thought that Drax was way more interesting in this miniseries than he was in his solo one. I dug the part where he's trying to buy time for people as they're trying to escape this planet after it's been overrun by these Centurions who are Annihilus' heralds, essentially. And what he can do is he takes these parasitic bugs and he infests people with them and turns them into his fighters.
They're basically mind control bugs.
Right. Yeah. And there's most of them are people that I don't think it had been introduced in other comics before, although with this series it's possible.
Terax was.
But Terax was one of the ones. And
I love
the
that
name
so
one.
Kill me.
He's like, and Gamora's about to do it, but it doesn't quite work out. But so they're trying to evacuate that planet when everything's just going to shit. Drax stays, and because the hive mind can't deal with this one spanner in the works, he's able to kill his way through all the bugs through their queen and then kill the queen and use her organic parts to power the ship and go after Thanos. Yeah, and going undercover, basically. They're one of their own ships.
And killing the hive mind had worked a few times in the series. That was the thing. I think Fire-Lord did it in the first issue when they were getting fucked up.
But it was just cool because they established that Drax is a single person with no liabilities, has the raw power and skill to get through all that stuff. He just needed all these encumbrances out of the way, like fucking Cammy, the sidekick.
Yeah, if Cammy wasn't there, Drax would have been... He was way better in this miniseries than he was in Guardians of the Galaxy, the movie. He was awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, I gotta say, honestly, reading this miniseries made me that much more angry and unhappy with the Guardians movie. Really? Because they sacrifice all these characters.
Well, Gamora sucked in this series, too, though.
Gamora kind of sucked in this one, and I didn't like, too, that they made her...
sucked a lot. She did was bang Nova. That was all she did.
Yeah, that's exactly the problem. She had the same problem in this miniseries that she had in the movie. She exists solely to be a love interest, essentially. They make lip service. Oh, she's such a badass. She jumps around a few times because Andrea DeVito is really good at drawing women's asses. And so they make sure that you get a nice view every time she does that.
Phyla and Praxagora and Moondragon are all better women fighters than the most dangerous woman in the universe.
Right.
In this 6 issues.
Drax is so cool in this miniseries. And then in the movie, he's pretty much just comedy. You know, he's comic relief.
Straight guy.
Yeah. I think it would have worked a little bit better, too, if, what's his face? Aquaman had played Drax like he was supposed to. Because I think he would have... Jason Momoa would have made it a little bit more sly. It wouldn't have been as blunt. I think that when you hire a wrestler and then you give him that kind of dialogue, the tendency is to think dumb. He's not really dumb, but he doesn't come off as cunning or anything. He just sounds off like a blunt object. In the movie, I mean.
Well, he was in the comics, too, for a while.
Yeah, but I hated that Drax, though. I never liked that version of Drax.
I just never liked the cape.
He was the Incredible Hulk, all
of us, with
the cape.
Yeah, Starlin wanted to write the Dumb Hulk. The Dumb Hulk wasn't around anymore because of Peter David, so he turned Drax into the Dumb Hulk.
Mm. So, right, the third, fourth issue is when Super Skrull comes back, right? Who comes passed away in the Super Skrull miniseries.
Which I thought was a good misdirect.
Hey, how the fuck did Super Skrull come back to life?
That is no shit, right?
Well, they explain it that...
I guarantee kind of you they did not explain it. Go ahead and try and bullshit for
it. They talk about... The nurse robots talk about when Fire Lord came up, when he repowered up and they were battling. The energies released.
They're probably ravenous, right?
I think their energies hit and they were so massive that they jump started his heart and shit. And I was like, all right, I mean, fuck it. It's more plausible than, you know, some of the other characters that came back from the dead.
Except that they killed him in the miniseries leading up to the series. It wasn't like, we got a character that was killed off.
When she's walking around with his body, you knew he was coming back.
Obviously, you knew he was going to come back. But it wasn't like they killed him off 3 years ago and then resurrected him to bring him back into this. They killed him off in his Annihilation prologue miniseries just to bring him back in the third issue of the Annihilation miniseries.
They could have set up his apparent death in the miniseries and then had it be like, oh, no, he tricked you. And it would have been fine because of how they would have potentially handled it in the miniseries. But instead... it's this offhand thing where the body's lying around, it gets hit, and then he just wakes up like it was nothing. Right. And it would have been nice if there'd been some strategy involved with that instead of it being some completely random, ridiculous coincidence.
Especially because nobody knew he died.
Right. He only shows up to be resurrected.
He only shows up for them to go, oh shit, Super Skrull dead? Oh shit, Super Skrull's alive. Like, what? Huh?
Well, the weird thing was he got to continue his abusive relationship with the robot girl, too.
Yeah,
that was awkward. That was funny.
Who, by the way, I think is still cool, but that name has got to go. Praxagora is just way too much.
I dig it now.
Fucking Silver Sable. I don't know what the fuck you got to call her. Just call her something that somebody's going to remember.
Robot chick.
But not Robot chick.
Miss Super Skrull. All right, so after Moondragon puts Thanos and shows him, hey, dude, this is what Annihilation's this is what Annihilus is actually trying to do. Maybe if you got any sort of failsafes built in like we know you do, maybe it's time for you to go ahead and pull those failsafes. He does, right? Like, he's like, okay, you know what? You're right. This is some fucked up shit. I'm going to go ahead and put a kibosh on it.
I just have to say, though, again, he keeps torturing her. There's that moment, too, where he burns all the flesh off her arm. Why? There's a lot of misogyny in this book that I could have done without, and I don't understand
from different writers.
Yeah, because I'm talking about this miniseries specifically, because Thanos rips off Moondragon's ear and he scorches her arm and he pimp slaps Phyla Vell, and then Gamora's not that great. So basically the only character that came out of this was Praxagora as far as female heroines that could do something effective for the most part.
No, she was and Praxagora's
in the abusive relationship with Super Skrull. Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? The gender politics in this miniseries are fucked.
But what I don't get
Frank's agenda
is he blows all of her skin off, but then she's got like a robot arm. Like, where the hell did this happen?
No, I think that was her.
She's not like her she's
cast.
Not Nebula.
It was like her cast.
Was it? Okay, I thought it was like muscle.
It's her sci-fi robot cast. Oh, you know, that looks like exposed the muscle when he first hits her. That's why I'm like, Jesus Christ, dude. A little bit of insubordination on her part, which isn't real because she's just being mouthy, because she's already being controlled by the insects. Why did you need to take it to that place?
Well, no, that was first. And then she attacks him again and he goes, this is going to hurt. And he does some kind of mind blast on her where she's puking up worms the next scene over.
No, that's when he liberates her from control under the bugs, because he's realized that he's going to need her help to deal with Annihilus.
Yeah, he's like, this will not be pleasant. And then she starts, that's how you get all the bugs out of your system. You start vomiting them out.
Yeah.
Because they're all in her body. Which all is cool. Inside her body.
It is cool and gross the way they handle the bugs.
Yeah, it's pretty cool how they're all like under your skin and in your joints and shit.
Because the artist is clean, kid friendly kind of art. So to throw that little bit of weirdness into the mix makes it more effective than it might have been under a more gross, creepy artist. There's more of a contrast.
So anyway, so Thanos is like, you know what? I got to pull the plug on this shit. And as he starts to get ready to pull the plug on this shit, who shows up? Drax the Destroyer right on time. Man, and now Moondragon, instead of letting Drax kill Thanos, is like, Drax, don't kill Thanos. Let him do his shit first, and then everything's gonna be good.
So, and what did you do? He knife slapped her. He like bashed her head with the hilt of his knife.
Yeah, he throws the butt of his knife at her,
and she goes down like a fucking chump. So once again, chicks do not fare well in this miniseries.
Well, I mean, she zapped him in the brain for like one panel.
I guess she's been beat up so much by Thanos, she's maybe not full power.
I did think the scene though was cool though, while he was trying to get his fucking little dealio to disable Set Galactus.
Right, he's
stuff.
Trying to set off the failsafe that would release Galactus, but it's got, like, tied into his specifically energy signature or some shit.
And he's got, which it doesn't make any sense.
No.
And he's got like this force field bubble, and Drax is like trying to scratch through the bubble, and then he gets like his fingers in it, and he's like pulling the bubble apart, and Thanos looks up, and he sees Death.
Right, the little girl version of Death from the Thanos series.
Yeah, and he goes, it can't be, and he's like, I know. And then what happens? As he's about to fucking set everything free and end this fucking miniseries, Drax punches through his back, grabbing his heart, and then shoving his heart out through the front of his chest. And see, Thanos has an ellipsis and just says, interesting.
Yeah, and see, I had that moment spoiled for me. And since this comic came out in 2006, that wasn't a permanent change. That was still a very striking moment, though. That was still like, oh, goddamn.
Well, not only oh, goddamn, because he literally ripped Thanos' heart out.
Right. You don't get to see people do that shit.
No.
Yeah.
Straight up Kano style. but then after that, you're like, well, shit, how are you going to stop Annihilus now, right? Because Thanos was it. These guys get their asses kicked in every issue.
Right. That's the big end on the fourth issue. It's like, oh shit, our one chance is fucked now, because we had Thanos on our side for 5 seconds.
And they do a good job of letting you know that it's basically like it's impossible.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everything you do, you just maybe get your ass kicked a little bit less than you did last time, but most of your people are going to die. Yeah.
I like, too, how they establish scale that Drax is a pretty big guy, but then Thanos is just, his corpse is towering
gigantic,
and just falls with quite the thud.
Okay. So these last couple issues, I think, went pretty quick, right?
Well, see, this is one of the problems I had with it. The first 3 to 4 issues do a great job, like you say, of setting up, holy shit, this is an insurmountable task. We're fucking dying left and right in here. I don't know what the fuck we're going to do. And then all of a sudden, in issue 5, Ronan, Super Skrull, and Praxagora all team up and retake the Kree Empire from the House Fiero, the bankers that took over Kree, and it turns out they'd been working in secret with the Annihilation Wave the whole time, and that's how they were able to wrest power in the first place. That they had lobotomized the Kree Supreme Intelligence and rendered it mute and ineffective.
Literally lobotomized. Like,
yeah.
He's got a scar on his head.
Right.
Was like, okay.
Some of their sentinels actually turn up to fight off Ronan and his people, but it doesn't matter because they're fucking getting totaled, because they're still politically, militarily inept, and there's still that ambivalence amongst the Kree about fighting Ronan, since they know what an icon he is. Ronins, and they just like tear their way through the Kree Empire and retake it. And at the end, people are chanting Ronin's name, and he's become, I believe, like the lord of the Kree Empire.
And
so it's such a victorious issue. And at the same time, it's like, wow, this should have been a special because it completely takes you out of the Annihilation miniseries.
Right. And also, you know, a lot, and what do you call it? Ronin and Annihilus had a few battles throughout this series too.
Yeah.
So this was like sort of the end game where he fucking just takes his hand, he breaks his hammer.
What, oh, you mean not in Annihilus, Ravenous?
No,
Ravenous. Yeah. Ravenous and Ronin. Sorry, these names are all. And he says something like, know that you have been judged and found guilty. And he takes his big gavel thing and smashes on a Ravenous's head, blasting it open and breaking his hammer in the process.
Yeah. What was cool about that, too, is we were all complaining about how Ravenous looked like a generic bad guy. And when you shattered his human form, you see underneath he's a bug who's just taken human form. And so from the rest of the miniseries, he's got this half and half face.
Right.
So it really makes him look like, oh, this is a distinct individual, not just another fucking
except
throwaway.
He beat Ravenous.
Right, so who cares about Ravenous now that he's been beaten by Ronin, who's not even one of the major players.
Where the fuck does he come from in the sixth issue? He blew part of his brain off.
Well, no, I think it was the shell, the human shell.
It doesn't matter, sir. Then how?
Then kill him. Double tap.
Does he not go into prison? Does he go like?
Right. Sudden, you're saying we need the double tap here.
Right. All of a sudden, in the sixth issue, he's just flying a spacecraft around, and you're like, no, he just got defeated in a gigantic splash page, and then in the next few panels, you're showing his bleeding dome cracked open on the floor of the Kree homeworld. And what did he do?
How did he get from this place to that place?
How did he then get back with the Annihilation Wave repaired and now is re-attacking again? Like, I was just like, I had to go back.
Isn't he dealt with?
This is part of what took me so long to read this over the, because I was like, I had to take some time because shit like that would happen. And I'm like, what did I miss? When Super Skrull was all of a sudden alive, I'm like, okay, I missed something here. He was in a casket. So I'd have to go back and I read through those pages again. This was the same thing. I had to go back to the previous issue. And I was like, did Ravenous always have the half cyborg face? And I was like, no, that was because he got hit by Ronin. And I was like, maybe it's a different guy. I'm like, no, because he's got that mechanical shit on the side of his face where he was hit. And then I'm just like, well, then how the fuck did he get back? It did not make sense, and it was not even like lightly explained. Yeah.
And I don't blame the art on that. I think that was the script.
Yeah, I'm sure he wrote the fifth issue, and then all of a sudden he got the sixth issue script and said, "We need Ravenous attacking." So, and he's just like, "Okay, well, you killed Ravenous in the last issue. What am I supposed to do with this?" So, yeah.
Well, and also in that same issue is when Drax, even after they've explained that the failsafe was entirely relying on Thanos, he just breaks Silver Surfer out, and Silver Surfer uses a power blast to free Galactus, which was a great splash page of Galactus getting up and, okay, I'm going to tear some shit up now, but it made no goddamn sense.
No, it made no. They specifically drove home the point several times. Thanos is the reason why. What would have been good is because isn't there like a because Drax was sort of designed to be Thanos's counterpart. If then he could also do something like that, but just breaking Silver Surfer out, and Silver Surfer just is like, I'll shoot it with my hand.
Yeah,
shoot it.
It makes no sense. They don't even make a line like Silver Surfer can mimic the energy signature of Thanos or some shit like that. We really need that line because it was such a major cheat.
He just blows it up. And when he blows it up, Galactus comes out. And once Galactus is out, the whole fucking thing's fucked up.
Right.
Like, well, your whole plan is done.
One of the few moments in this series where a woman gets to be a pimp is Moondragon is using her telepathic powers to stave off the hive mind to keep the critters off their backs while Drax is doing his stuff. But because this is all telepathic and it's mostly happening off panel, even though she's one of the main people who's making sure this is going to happen, she gets no credit for it because all you're doing is watch Drax jump around and grab Silver Surfer. It makes him look like a hero. She's doing the actual heavy lifting, but it's not played that way.
Yeah, instead it just looks like he just like shimmied down a pole and let Silver Surfer go. It's like, oh, wow.
You take care of everything important and I'll just get all the panel time.
Just shimmy down. He literally shimmied down a pole and freed Silver Surfer.
I did like the fact that they showed how powerful Galactus was, though. I did like the fact they showed how powerful Galactus was.
Did we need to be shown how powerful Galactus was?
But he nearly like wiped out, 34%
What was cool is Galactus reclaims all this energy that Annihilus has been soaking up and then creates his own Annihilation Wave where it's basically going out and wiping out. And you're seeing, too, it's sort of like the guns from the Aliens movies where they're counting down the percentage of ammunition left.
Yeah.
It's like, here's 45% of the Annihilation Wave is existing, 38%, 30%. It's like he's just blowing through them all in one big power blast.
And at the same time, that was pretty cool. Teleporting people. And he's like doing all... Because, I mean, most of the time, every time I've heard Galactus is, I'm hungry.
Right.
Eat. And so if he did fight someone, he'd always swing.
swing at them. Like, do these, like, crazy, like, slow motion swings where he's swinging at another character. This one was just, he put his hands out, and it's just like, it's go time.
Well, and I think that's part of the point, is to remind people, oh, yeah, Galactus used to be a big deal. Galactus used to matter. But how is it we've never had a fast food campaign involving Galactus? Why haven't they ever done that?
Because he's hungry.
Yeah, exactly. It's like I'm at the grocery store.
They did a lot of those what does and stuff where he's always eating.
Yeah, but use it. It's like I'm at the grocery store, and, you know, for several months, all the Dr. Pepper products had Avengers on them, and those were cool. And the other day, I'm looking at Big Red, who got the Terminator Genesis account, and now the Fantastic Four are only on Orange Crush.
I've got it. It's got to be Hungry Man Dinners.
There you go.
You got to use. Yeah. You got to fucking use Galactus
approved.
Or he fights Jolly Green Giant.
Oh, that would be cool. I'd like to see that, actually. Ho, ho, ho.
No, you wouldn't.
I totally. Come on. You cannot tell me you would not think it was cool when Big Purple Galactus is fighting the Jolly Green Giant on a can of peas.
No. Yeah. Yes. You have to collect all the different vegetables to piece together the
right.
Story.
It's like it tells you that.
You put all the labels together and it creates
they can put food coloring in 1 month. They do food coloring and they're all purple.
Yeah. Michelle Obama would put her stamp of approval on
beans
that. I'm telling
purple.
You.
Corn's purple. It's all purple.
So the power bad,
they call it cosmic corn.
Yeah.
And when it goes bad, how do you know it's bad? You just look at it. It's like,
it's canned corn. It doesn't ever go bad.
It's not an internal organ. And they don't turn purple. How many fucking cans of vegetables have you eaten?
I don't eat canned vegetables.
Okay, well.
Totes.
I like mine fresh from the earth. No, but I like the fact that they just kind of showed again that how powerful Galactus is. That gets kind of lost in the shuffle sometimes.
While at the same time, totally being a deus ex machina and wrapping up a series that was turning out pretty good. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, wait, we just fixed everything after all.
Thanks, Galactus. He really did just snap his fingers and
hit the reset button.
Endless annihilation wave. So then from there we go to Annihilation fighting Nova.
Well, Annihilus is the quantum. Yeah. I know. Well, hey, we go back and forth this so much, I can totally understand.
Praxagora.
Annihilus has the quantum bands, and that's what allows him to survive the blast of Galactus. And then he's stuck fighting Nova, who's been teleporting from place to place trying to get to Annihilus because that's the lonely plane he's got left.
They're going to hit him, yeah. And then so they go after him. I keep forgetting the female version, Marvel.
Phyla-Vell.
She attacks him from behind.
Well, mostly she just grabs the quantum bands.
Well, she touches him and basically gave the bands a choice. Stay with evil or come to me. And of course, the bands decide to go with her.
And then she does fuck all with them.
She does nothing.
But didn't Annihilus always have that cosmic rod around his neck?
It doesn't get mentioned at the least in this entire event.
It does in the prologue.
Okay, but it doesn't factor into the miniseries at all.
He's got it there.
Yeah, but that's like his. That's where his power comes from, right?
Yeah.
It's like.
So then you got
the person who told me about that.
It was me. I was the one who pulled the control rod out of my ass, and I just realized that sounded really bad. I got too far into that.
I think they sell those on Westheimer.
Oh, my God. Oh, geez. Well, I would say edit that out, but I know you're not going to.
No chance.
Okay, so now it's just Annihilus with the cosmic control rod versus Nova turned up. Nova Prime, right?
Is that what he calls himself at one point?
Yeah. I don't know.
No, I don't think so. No. I hope not, because that's part of what made him cool.
Was Nova Prime the name of the...
No, I thought he called himself Nova Prime because he's the first of.
Maybe in the miniseries. I don't recall it popping up in the actual Annihilation miniseries because I read it.
Well, I just love the fact that Quill comes calling him Richie and he goes, quit calling me that. Call me Nova.
Right.
And he does it anywhere to fuck with him all the time. Because in this one, you're right, Quill is different than the movie. He is kind of sarcastic, but dark.
Yeah.
Almost suicidal.
Well, he's just the assistant to Nova. You know, he's just kind of setting things up and giving him options and perspective and stuff. Yeah.
So let's just wrap this up. Nova fights Annihilation.
Annihilus
reaches down into his throat and pulls out some sort of an Annihilus internal organs or something. Like, it's a pretty...
It's this big wormy purple thing.
These death splash pages are pretty cool.
Well, they say Annihilus says that nothing can penetrate his armor, and Nova says everywhere except your
gaping mouth.
Yeah, and he reaches into his mouth. And I was like, okay.
And he's like, as he plunges his fist down his throat, Annihilus is going glug, 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 like gagging. It's GK, 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 UK.
Well, and then you've got the crunchack.
It's gulk, gulk, gulk.
It was still cool. It was totally cool seeing this guy thrust his arm down Annihilus' throat and rip out his internal organs.
That's kind of weird.
And he's fucking cool. Not too great. It was cool. I definitely did not see any of these deaths coming. I didn't see Ronan breaking his own hammer on the guy's skull.
That was badass.
I didn't see Drax pulling Thanos' heart out through his chest. And I definitely did not see Nova reaching his fist down Annihilus' gagging throat and pulling his internal organs out. I did not see either of those. those.
And then Thanos and Death pull a Return of the Jedi and show up at the end, say, good job, guys.
And he's like, no.
And of course the Ewoks are in the background.
Jump. They were there to basically take Nova, and he's all like, better luck next time. And they're like, you know, out of here.
But of course the series doesn't end there.
No, there's four pages of big fat captions telling you every fucking thing they didn't manage to get around to in this miniseries because it was not long enough.
Yeah. And of course the last scene is...
Well, before you get to that though, let's just say, okay, Nova has now made himself a galactic hero and he's fielding all sorts of offers, but for now he's enjoying being unemployed and knowing that he saved the universe. Ravenous is now...
They're like, restart the Nova Corps, dude. You can do all this shit.
Yeah, that's the main thing he seems to be gearing towards. Then you got Ravenous, who signs a peace treaty with the various races.
Which, why? Because I thought Galactus destroyed all their shit.
Right. But apparently there are still enough of a presence to where they can have worlds ceded to them and take over all the old Skrull worlds and the old Kree homeworld of Kree-La. They're all on Hala now, is that it?
Yeah.
Hala. Only the one Hala. I don't want people thinking
I'm playing
about
Hala.
My teeth.
Valhalla.
We established that Fire Lord is okay and he's off trying to kill off all the centurions of Annihilus, but the other heralds that they were a little bit more vague about dying, they say no, they were killed in action. They don't really say much about the Super Skrull, and Praxagor just sort of vanished, so does Drax. The stupid little fairy thing that used to hang out with Thanos ends up hanging out with Cammy.
Skeet.
She's really Skeet, huh?
I think her name was Skeet.
Oh, and then they had that panel where they show Blastar and the Space Knights.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh yeah, those guys appeared for literally, what, 5 pages in issue 5, and they were never heard from again? They didn't do fuck all. They were like, they were supposed to go off and fight something, and then we never saw that anything happen.
With them at a point. They were kind of like
but they didn't actually do anything.
Well, they're Space Knights. What the fuck are they supposed to do?
No, Space Knights were cool. Rom was a Space Knight.
Hey, fuck Rom.
Yeah.
Rom was cool. Actually,
I got no problem with Rom.
I don't know, Fix It, if you've looked at any of the current previews, but IDW has a miniseries out now called Onyx that I guarantee you, the guy who runs IDW, he was trying to get the Rom license, and it didn't work out, and I guarantee he just turned it into Onyx.
I thought Rom belonged to Marvel.
No, Rom belongs to either some Japanese company or maybe like Tonka or one of the toy makers.
But didn't Marvel do their comic?
Yeah, they did the comic, and it was one of those situations where they own the rights to the Dire Wraiths and to the Space Knights that they created, but they don't own Rom.
Because he's the one. Rom was what? He had a square head with like a
visor eye thing. Yeah.
Hold on, let me ask.
He started life as a toy. It was a toy adaptation.
Let me ask. Who is Rom Space Knight?
Fuck off.
Shit, it just gave me the link to Rom.
She doesn't want to talk anymore. So should we get to the very ending?
Yeah. Just do the last couple pages and we can talk about this a little more.
Well, go ahead, Mr. Fix.
Basically, Ravenous is walking and one of the female bugs is giving birth to a child. And he's talking about how so quickly he could rule with but a simple squeech of his hands. He'll rule all that belonged to Annihilus. But that's not his way. His word is his bond bullshit. And the next thing you see is he has a baby fetal Annihilus. And he's holding it up kind of Lion King style. And all the bugs, I guess, are bowing to it.
Okay.
Circle of life.
Matt Back knows all about gestation, so he knows that it's not a fetus once it's outside.
Well, what is it?
It's an infant.
But it was still kind of in a sack.
Yeah, it was still in a sack.
Okay. It's like sort of an embryonic sack.
Yeah.
It's still
in
outside.
In your face.
Though.
I still think it would have been illegal to abort. Tell me that this is not a good example as to why abortion should be legal.
Oh, goddamn. Yeah.
I'm turning this into a hot button issue.
Okay. Well, it's a bug.
Yeah.
So we don't care when life begins
to
run the bug.
Right to raid. Okay, so I have some questions here, guys. Want to listen to these?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, question number one. Where the fuck did Star-Lord come from, and why is he in this miniseries?
He was actually on the planet in the Thanos series. When Thanos goes to that prison world.
No. Talk about this series and all the issues.
That's what I'm
saying. And all the issues we read, where the fuck was Star-Lord in any of them?
Well, for starters, there is no Star-Lord. He's not Star-Lord anymore.
Quill.
He's Peter Quill.
Thank you.
And he's just like the major domo for Richard Rider. They don't establish how that hierarchy gets formed.
Yeah. Because he came off the Thanos series.
Yeah, the one we didn't read.
Yeah.
That's the point. I read it too. I read it when it came out monthly because Thanos kicks ass.
So give us some recap. Give us two panels where you explain where these characters came from.
Yeah.
It seems like
For Keith Giffen, by Keith Giffen standards, that was super accessible.
Really?
That guy loves being fucking obtuse with his information. If you ever tried to read his Legion of Superheroes, your fucking brain would melt. I guarantee you.
Oh, you know what? I did have a note here saying, Mari thinks... it was even like, how did Super Skrull survive? They don't explain it. She just says, Mary. Is it Mary, M-A-R-I?
The alien chick, the big-headed Kree girl.
Ravenous and Fire Lord jump-started him. And then it says, their combined energies did ... something? That's okay. The explanation as to why. Drax was good. He was very much Wolverine of the series, right?
Oh, totally.
Where he's like, just leave it to me, bub. And he takes on the whole with his knives. He even at the knives. I mean, yeah. He's fucking, oh my God.
Which they break. Out of the entire series, they never break until he goes up against Thanos and he smashes him against the shield. His force field.
Yeah.
Even though they were kitchen knives from
somebody's
kitchen.
At some point, I think they tried to say that he picked up some knives someplace else, which was a total no prize. No fucking way. There's still the goddamn ones from the sporting goods story in Alaska?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Because Riddick, which, you know.
I did like that they paired Super Skrull and Ronan together.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And made them go after the
it did make sense. Bad cop kind of thing. Like,
yeah,
they
did
that whole
touch.
Joke where she goes, oh, I guess we're not going with Ronan to the planet. And he's like, give it a second. And he's like, are you coming? He's like, yeah, see, let's go.
Yeah.
That's kind
of, Well, and of course, Super Skrull's going to want to kill a bunch of Kree. It makes perfect sense.
He tells him. He's getting off on it. When they're
fighting and of course, Ronan's like, hey, this is done. I'm going to fucking rape you.
And Skrull's just like, oh, please, just let me keep going. He's getting off on it.
So I enjoyed they paired those two up. I thought the lobotomized supreme intelligence was cool.
Not enough Super Skrull, I think. I need more.
Not enough issues, also. More explanations, more valid explanations. Not
he's a lot
fucking
more fun in this series. I've read him in other stuff, and he's always
too serious. Yeah. He's better when he's a little bit more snarky.
Yeah,
we're realizing, hey, look, I'm not the biggest shit around, but I am kind of a thing still.
Well, I love the fact that in his miniseries, it was like, you used to be somebody.
Yeah.
And so now he's kind of accepted that role. He's like, I don't give a shit anymore. He's like, I'm Super Skrull. I can do what the fuck I want.
Well, and they kind of established too, Super Skrull knows in the pecking order he's below Ronan.
Yeah.
So he pushes it, but he only pushes it so far because he knows ultimately, I think, that Ronan would kick his ass. So he's a useful ally.
The Fantastic Four.
Yeah. Well, so was Ronan. That's actually
Super Skrull is the Fantastic Four.
That was actually a major point, as Peter Quill pointed out. Hey, didn't the Fantastic Four beat Galactus on their own? He's like, yeah, but it's Civil War. We can't use them.
Yeah.
The editor said no. Let's go fight some aliens.
But that was good they addressed that, though.
Yeah, I like that they got that little. And the great, you know, usually it irritates me when they make these allusions and then they don't have a little box telling you what the fuck they're talking about, especially when you're reading a series so divorced from its original context. But here, I liked it because if you know they're talking about Civil War, great. And if you don't, it really doesn't matter. They're occupied. I don't need a big box telling me exactly what comic book they're occupied in at this particular point in time.
Yeah, I'm reading that early Avengers, not early Avengers, the
stuff from the 70s with Hellcat.
Englehart Perez stuff, and they do that in every issue.
Oh, yeah.
It's even like, see last issue. And it's like, really? Did you really need to do that?
Right.
Yeah, see last issue?
Yeah, they'll say, yeah, I remember.
And they'll do it like 3 times in an issue.
Yeah.
Like, now, the other ones will be like, see this issue, and then it's like sigh because they had to list all of them.
Uh-huh.
That is over annotated.
Yeah, the paradigm can shift one way or the other. Ideally, you'd have a happy
middle.
But
this one, like for Star Lord, give me a box.
Mm-hmm.
At least say, hey, he's
who the hell is this guy?
Because see Thanos miniseries.
The only thing though is I don't think you need to know more about Peter Quill besides he's the foil for Richard Rider. I don't think you need more than that.
When you had how many miniseries did they have leading up to this final?
Yeah,
and you couldn't, and then. He's there through the whole 6 issues.
Yeah.
He's there in the last issue right there with the rest of them. If he's going to be that much in the mix, like you have an entire miniseries dedicated to creating Cammy, but you toss her away in that last issue only to have Peter Quill be there side by side.
Well, and she's irrelevant. She really is irrelevant. I think she's supposed to be there to show who Drax is and what his motivations are and how little other people are supposed to mean to him. She still kind of means something to him to give him something heroic to work around. But in terms of the grander scale of the story, she's fucking meaningless. If she weren't around, it would have made no difference to the story whatsoever, except being better.
Because
then they would have had more room to tell you who Peter Quill was.
Tell me who Peter Quill is instead. That's all I'm saying. But anyway, as a whole, was this the worst miniseries you've ever read, or was this actually...
I liked it a lot. My problem was the first 4 issues are so good that 5 and 6 petering out and taking cheap ways out of things... bothered me. I wish it had been a bit longer. I loved the art in this miniseries. It made so many of these Marvel characters look cool. I've seen Andre DeVito do other stuff. He did a Thunder Agents. What was supposed to be an ongoing series became a miniseries. And it was just okay on that. But there's something about pairing him with these space characters and sort of doing them, I dare say, in a Jose Luis Garcia Lopez kind of quality where they look... The way he draws somebody like Blastar, you could take Blastar and put him on a Slurpee cup and it would look good. You wouldn't know who the fuck Blastar was, but that quality, that licensing quality, everybody in here looks like they're ready to be licensed for beach towels and shit. And I think that sometimes the alien races in Marvel, when you put them all together, especially, they get so weird. There's too much variety. It's almost kind of nice to see them streamlined and cleaned up. I'm secure enough to say this. Almost everybody in this miniseries was hot. The men, the women, he drew everybody like sexualized, like human ideals. And everybody looked really fucking good in this series. All the women looked really hot. The guys looked hot. This was like equal time beefcake shit. Are you telling me that DeVito did not draw hot everybody? I mean, even the aliens were kind of, you know, like he even
ravenous?
Ravenous was pretty, too. You know, he was just like.
Did you see the deltoids on that roach?
What is it? BBC, do they call it? That's probably too.
Whoa.
He got it.
The
he
television
got it.
Network?
You talking about British television?
You're talking about the British broadcasting channel.
Or is it BBD? Anyway, you have to look up in the internet pornoverse and you'll know what I'm talking about.
BBW?
No, that's a whole different thing. There was no BBW in this miniseries. Even the insectoid chicks were sleeping that. But even Praxagora, who's a robot chick, he's drawing her with like dimples on her ass and shit. He was sexualizing everything.
Like dimples on her ass. I didn't see no dimples in the ass.
I assure you there were dimples in Praxagora's ass.
There are definitely dimples in Praxagora's ass.
Oh, and Gamora. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, Gamora was...
Dude, Frank, did you read this or beat off to it, man? You're way too excited.
No, actually, I mostly read it at work, so that would have been inappropriate.
That would have been very inappropriate.
Although it was on a tablet, so at least the screen would wipe pretty easily, I expect.
Oh, man.
You did.
Hey.
You used to work at Pizza Hut.
Well, this is the Marvel Super Heroes podcast.
I didn't work at Pizza Hut. What are you talking about?
That guy that beat off at work at Pizza Hut and they recorded him?
I didn't hear about that.
Somebody went to buy a pizza and they were recording the guy.
Well, let's make sure that it's definitely... Let's, we probably shouldn't name the brand, name the company.
Do you think Pizza Hut's going to sue us over that? It's already on the news, apparently. Now, if it turns out to be Pizza Inn, we're fucked.
If it turns out to fucking be Pizza Parlor and he just sold out Pizza Hut, yeah, it's going to be...
Pizza Patron.
Fucking Pizza Patron. Hey, I've had Pizza Patron.
That's not Alfredo sauce.
Look, I would say they would tend towards the scatological pornography of Pizza Patron. It ain't good, buddy.
Pizza Patron, dude, that's some pizza. Ugh.
That's below CC's, I think.
No.
Hey, shout out to our new sponsor, Pizza Patron. Are you looking for a pizza? Are you a patron?
You want that little something extra?
Would you put Pizza Patron above or below Little Caesars?
I like Little Caesars. It gives me the shits, but I do eat it.
Dude, that...
Little Caesars gives him the Pizza Patrons.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so the Pizza Patrons... Oh, that was a good one, dude. That was such a good one.
Okay, anyway.
Are you saying it runs across the border?
Little Caesars.
It's Little Caesars is better.
Okay. Really?
Yeah, Little Caesars. If anything, for the convenience, but also talk to your microphone.
No, my bad. Yeah. Well, no, this was personal, dude.
This is going in the podcast. This isn't even a stinger.
Because
I didn't even know how we got on this.
Well, see, and Little Caesars is politically one of the only ones I can get with because most of the pizza guys are heavy-duty right-wingers and shit. So at least the Little Caesars.
Really?
Yeah, Little Caesars is Democrats.
Oh, you mean the owners?
Yeah, it's a family that owns it, and they support Democratic causes where you've got fuckers like that cunt at Papa John's. That guy's a real son of a bitch. Fuck that guy. So
hey, don't eat at Firehouse Subs because he owns Firehouse Subs.
I don't eat at Firehouse Subs either.
Hey, I thought Farman.
Hey, Firehouse Subs is delicious.
Okay. I thought Farman owned that place.
Well, I think it's a franchise. I think he might be like a giant franchiser. Okay.
So I have no idea how we got into that.
I'm trying to find Praxagora's dimples, you guys.
She turns out mostly. Well, actually, it's five. Five is probably the best place to go.
Oh, no, Frank was way. He's like, and her ass was so.
No, I was not fucking moaning.
Look,
that.
You see, Ravenous.
It's very sexualized.
Okay. Well, then why don't you tell us what you thought about the art?
Well, I was good art. I mean, thank God it had decent artwork. Some of the other books, I mean, we agreed. You and I both like Super Scroll, but the art was shit.
I like the art.
I thought it was way too cartoony.
And I like the cartooniness of it.
Each book had its own style. I got to admit, this art style worked for it, especially the whole war part.
Because you can tell he took some design cues from Starlin, and he took some Buscema. Well,
and I'll tell you, when he was drawing Silver Surfer, Galactus, and Gamora, Claudio Castellini was on that guy's fucking table.
Absolutely.
And it was great. I love that.
So, no, the artwork was good. I mean, not beat off good, but it was good to look at.
But see, it'd be like too clean and too straightforward for the Avengers, but it's great for the sci-fi properties because it makes them work together.
It a little dirty.
At the same time, he was asked to really draw and perceive some pretty gigantic concepts. Mm-hmm. And I thought some of these battle scenes, I don't even know where I would even start. It's just supposed to be endless bugs.
Yeah.
And then you got the bugs in their bodies. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, he took every single concept that Giffen threw at him. Even some of them were just probably complete. Like, he probably sat there and was like, what the hell am I supposed to do with this? And I thought he pulled them off really well. And there were universe-spanning battles in three of the first four issues that he was going to have to draw.
Yeah.
And I thought he did them all great.
Oh, yeah.
George Perez style. George Perez loves to draw in numbers. Mm-hmm. It was like like he was like, bring it. Let's put as many freaking characters on the screen as possible. Even like I'm looking at this panel here of Ronan and Super Skrull trying to go through the Kree homeworld. Mm-hmm. And there's just
and it's not even a full splash.
He's drawing bodies everywhere.
Yeah.
He doesn't take any of the shortcuts that a lot of people would. He could put some smoke there and just some hatches. Mm-hmm. He's drawing every single body leading up to the steps to their big cathedral because Ronan and Super Skrull have just wasted all these guys.
Right. And so, the detail makes a huge difference. You really feel the impact. Like, that one shot, it's a one-page splash where it's just the bugs coming at you. And there's tall bugs, and there's small bugs, and there are all different kinds of bugs, and they're multitudinous, and you're just like, fuck. You really are impressed by the scale of what he's bringing to this. And he chooses his splash as well, too. You want a full-page splash of Ronan smashing the gavel across Ravenous's face. You want the two-page spread of the Centurions turning up and turning the tide against the heroes. You want that full-page splash of Galactus coming up and getting ready to tear up people. A lot of artists, they'll do a splash when it doesn't work, where with his, when he did one, he did the shit out of it, and he did it exactly at the right story place for it. Giffen might have contributed to that, but he wouldn't have been able to pull off the level of detail that's in display here.
Agreed. So, I would just say to recap, read Annihilation Prologue, mm-hmm. read Nova, mm-hmm. and then just read the 6-issue miniseries. It's all on Marvel Unlimited. You could knock this out in a day, right? Because those those miniseries read really fast. This one takes a little bit longer. The 6 issues.
It's involved, yeah.
Yeah.
World Spine Podcast, who are great, by the way. They're one of my favorite podcasts. What do you got to say about that? It doesn't matter what you have to say.
That's fine. I knew I should have known that one.
Welcome to Odyssey Unleashed Podcast. I'm Curtis.
I'm Mike.
I'm Bob.
Down pat, right, and ready to go. Movies, comics, TV shows, music. I want to talk about wrestling at some point. If you want to talk about it, let us know. Give us some suggestions, and we'll do what we can to, I don't know, talk about something.
Anything but politics.
Yeah. If you have a good novel you just read, let us know. And maybe we can talk about it. Yeah, we're big dog guys over here. Maybe any other podcast that you listen to. Like I said, the Rolled Spine Podcast is by far and away one of my favorites. And if you get a chance, listen to them. Keep it going, guys. If you have any questions or want to speak with us, let us know and we'll talk with you. You can contact us on Twitter at Odyssey Unleash, or you can contact us through Hotmail at odyssey-unleashed@hotmail.com. Thanks for giving us a try. Yeah, I think that's it on this end. Mike, anything else?
Man, that ought to do.
Catch your ass down the road.
That pretty much wraps it up.
The Mighty Marvel Marching Society, guys who both favorited and retweeted our stuff to promote us.
The First Bat, Angel Velasquez.
Ask the Moon.
Bradley J. Tim.
Charles Washington. Cheryl at Piggy Mouth.
Chris Williams. CJ. Count Dracula. Darren and Ruth Sutherland. Dead Vinyl. Dylan Bennett.
Dobbs at Chasing Horses. Ed Moore at Teal Productions.
Eric Mannix. Eternal Rage. Fantastic Verse. Film Reel Podcast. Firestorm Fan. Future Primitive. Hall of Justice.
Hailstorm Comics, spelled with a Y.
Cord Industries.
Land of the Creeps.
Liz O. Lord Horstocles. Marvel Inc. Miss Moneypenny. My Star Wars Story. Nerdgasmo. Odyssey Unleashed. Out of the Fridge. Outside the Long Box.
Party Roll Podcast.
The Penultimate Randy Micah Smith Pittsburgh Nerd Pod. Randy Caldwell. Richard Calvert.
Superhero Speak. Sim alias the Scarecrow. Tanya Malone. Top 5 Road Crew, Trekker Talk, and
Universal Radio.
Stephen Courtney offered us a Friday piece of art related to Back to the Future. You can check that out on the blog. Amino Acid comic book sent us a piece of original art, which you can also see on the blog. And tweeted us a panel from the Dune comic book adaptation Instant Sequel Podcast. Our own Illegal Machine tweeted a children's shirt that featured Captain America, Iron Man, Spider-Man, Thor, Luke Cage, the Power Man, Iron Fist, the Hulk, and Nova. Something is afoot here. This means something. Again, photo on the blog. Of the Amazing Heroes Interview Podcast with Peter David, Siskoid wrote, great interview. Firestorm Fan wrote, great interview as well. Really enjoyed hearing about Atlantis Chronicles. And Andrew wrote, great stuff. David's catalog is lengthy, so no surprise that you didn't get to talk about everything. I am sure that many people are lamenting the lack of X-Force talk. Thank you, X Factor. I would want to talk about Supergirl, but that's my niche. But the stuff here was great. In particular, I love reading the stuff about Jean DeWolf. So fascinating to hear him say that he went back to reread all the fan letters as a way to combat the harsh response to her death. I didn't read his Hulk stuff, although I have heard about it enough to have a sense about it. I do like that Doc Samson was elevated to something more than background green-haired guy, and the Skullhead Meteor story is a hoot. We received a direct message from Eden Hudson, author of Halo Bound, Redneck Apocalypse Book 1. She wrote, check out the book one reviewer called A Pile of Poorly Written, Badly Put Together Rubbish. I just had to add that because I respect the honesty. We received new Twitter follows from Ace Kilroy, which is Rob, Fire and Water Podcast, Kelly's comic book, The Art of Flojitsu, ASDFGHJKL at Pratchy Rye, Best Comedy Tickets, Binge Feed, Bryce Poole, Comic Book Blog, Comic Book Herald, Comic Zeros, Crowdfunding.biz, David Levitt, David Sobolov, Dogs at _dogs_ EB2B _innovation, Healthy for Life, JD at I Own JD, J. Daniel Taylor IV, James Boyd at JamesBoyd004, Joff at Joff O'Connor, Johnny Zito, Julius Lacerda, Kevin at Cap_Pineapple1, Kim Bridges at Motivate Day by Day, Crowdster, spelled with a K, Mary at 1315 Audio Bible, Matthew Sardo, Miasma Comics, Nerd Rage Renegades, Nick Borelli at Nick's Comics, Orbital Comics, Patch of Land, Paul at Martin, Preston Phillips at 10 News Phillips, Sketch Comedy Podcast, Sticky Bud at Sticky Bud Music, Titanium Comics, Trekker Talk, it's a new podcast that Donald and Ruth Ellen have about the Ron Randall sci-fi character. Tristina Lilith, Tube Start, Vision Launch, Vultures at Vultures Blog, Walking Dead Fans at Essential Dead, and Would You Rather. We received Twitter favorites from Adam Black Moon, Al Mega First Crusader, Amy Royland, Ange, Anthony Durso, Ben Cohen, Bone Dragon Comics, Charlton Hero, City War, Crowdfund Resources, Chris Perry, Chris Thompson, C. Miller, Comic Book Lion, Comical Podcast, Couple Things Podcast, David Fior, David Golding Artist, Derek High, Elijah Medge, Foot Pound Force, J.D. Barker, Jacob Edwards, Jared Easley, Joseph Crawford, Kanish Kabbalah, Lake Runs Red, Larry W. Looper Jr., Longbox Graveyard, Mark Stubbs, Mark Sweeney, Mr. X, Moldwitch, Odell Abner Dracula, Orbital Comics, Philip Thomas, Plop Cartoons, Professor Riptide, Rachel Boomtown, Reality Crowd TV, Sir Kayak, Super Podcasto, Ultimate Crown Funding, Until Ben, Wednesday Comics, and Wetsuit, with retweets from BS Podcast Network and Floto Span. So Sean McLaughlin, who I'd assume didn't listen to us anymore, probably got turned off because we called ourselves the Marvel Superheroes Podcast and then never talked about that cartoon, or that really we haven't focused that much on the classic Marvel heroes. Really, we've tended to do a little bit more obscure stuff, so I just assumed he dropped off. But in fact, he just had stopped listening to podcasts in general for a while, or went social media dark or whatever. And so he comes back on. He's like, is there a handy list of your podcasts, wallet sized and laminated? And then when I got it to him, he called me a prince, and he made a point of saying, thanks, I'm a big fan of the Marvel superheroes, as you probably know. So it was nice to hear from Sean again.
Hey, Sean, thanks for coming back, buddy.
Hola, amigo.
And see, he also pointed, insert quote, from about Love From Afar.
Hey, I'm glad that Frank sent you the encyclopedia of streams that we have for you to go through.
Yeah, well, I feel like Bill Gemas. You decide which podcast you want to listen to out of the old Spy Network. Instead of being forced to have a whole bunch of stuff get downloaded to your iDevice of choice or your Stitcher-related Google Android thingamajiggy, Count Dracula of the most recent episode, which is the one where we talked about ourselves a lot and it was big masturbatory spectacle.
Yeah.
Count Dracula wrote 40 minutes of new content plus 2 hours of listener feedback, half of which is Frank hating on Superman. Ange replied, is this what I have to look forward to on my commute? And then added, man, this Superman rant is incredible. Don't sugarcoat it, Frank. Tell us how you really feel. LOL, I thought it was over. It's still going. Just incredible. Count Dracula replied, the war never ended. And Ange replied to that, the wounds cut deep, not that I don't agree with much of it. I have to admit that it was something of a wasted decade. I even stopped reading Superman. But I think I appreciate Burns stuff much more than you do. I think it reinvigorated things.
Yeah, you really did rant forever. And it does seem to like stop and then you get fired up again and you keep on going.
It was 3 a.m. We had a few drinks. I was in a mood.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was an interesting rant and that's all that really matters.
I announced on Twitter that we were going to do a Captain America episode, but I didn't manage to get it edited before July 4th. And then we talked for an hour about the podcast's 1 year anniversary. And then this week we're doing the Annihilation episode to mark the 1 year anniversary. So Captain America just has been pushed back again and again because next week after that we're going to tried to do Ant-Man, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, so Ange wrote that the waiting is the hardest part, while Count Dracula said, it's okay, we'll just assume he doesn't really like the character after all.
Aww. I have thought the same thing, because we've been doing this for a year and have done zero Captain America material.
Because if I were going to do Captain America, we got to do him right.
So it's going to be a special episode?
Oh,
it's,
hell yeah.
It's pretty much already done, right?
Oh, only the first hour. I'm still got to work on the second hour.
We have a comment from Charlton Hero, and he says, thanks to the gang for one of my favorite podcasts out there. Listen to At Rolled Spine for raw, honest truth on comics. Thank you, Charlton Hero. I believe that to be accurate.
Very much.
No punches pulled. Ange said, what a motley crew. Happy to join the fun when we were lumped into a Follow Friday.
Since I was compiling a list from a whole shit ton of episodes for that 2 hour long listener feedback section, I went ahead and ranked the different commentators on the number of times they talked to us and the length to which they talked to us. And Martin Gray made the top five. So he said, I am honored. A gobshite.
That is some British shit.
He's Scottish.
He's not Scottish.
Oh, he's Britain. Scotland? Is that what it is?
Jesus.
I always forget.
Martin, I apologize on behalf of Diablo Frank. I know we've been through this like 15 times. I'm very, very sorry. Hey, everyone shut the fuck up. Our first comment is from Count Dracula. He says, Ghostbusters? Superman? Man, Frank doesn't give a shit who he pisses off today. I don't know why Mr. Fixit doesn't change his name to Mr. Fuck It, because that seems to be his approach he takes with every episode and conversation you guys have. As I look over and see fucking whatever the fuck that dumb phone game is. What is it again?
Boom Beach.
Is that Boom Beach that you're playing now? Oh, that's... Well, thank you for coming to the podcast.
I'll be here.
That's not a complaint, by the way, writes Count Dracula.
That's not a complaint, by the way, writes Count Dracula. The 10 minutes of you guys talking about Slimer being the ghost of John Belushi and Fixit's impression of Slimer / Schwarzenegger was the best podcasting I've heard in months. Amazing stuff. The credible Jim Belushi film that you were struggling to remember was... Yeah, that's what we thought.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, I took a phone picture of that comment and sent it to Mr. Fuck It, who said he was awesome. And I pretty much think that that should be the new name. All this Joe Jose shit we were going through all this time, we call you Mr. Fuck It, and everybody's going to know who we're talking about from now on.
Mr. Fuck It.
Hey, Mr. Fuck It, do you want to read the next comment? No, fuck it. Yeah, let the legal machine read it.
Our next comment comes from Ange 2 days ago. Well, that was something of a Superman rant in the middle of the episode. Blistering. I will admit that even I stopped reading Superman books in the late 90s, only began reading them again when Jeff Johns / Gary Frank came onto the book. There was a lot of garbage in there, but I actually think I like the Byrne stuff. Good, reinvigorating, and...
A moribund franchise.
And thanks for the shout out early on. I don't think my schedule, both work and family, would ever make podcasting something possible on a consistent basis. I would love, I do love this show. Like you said, it sounds like conversations I have with my buddies. And as someone who doesn't have much deep Marvel knowledge, it's great to hear you guys riff on the classic stuff. Thanks, Ange.
Well, and I just want to say too, it didn't like there weren't other people that I considered for podcasting type stuff. But a lot of these guys, like Count Dracula, I interacted with him a little bit on the Fire and Water message boards, comment boards, whatever the hell you want to call it. But I didn't hear his voice until after we'd already been doing this show for like 3 to 6 months. So, you know, we've picked up a lot of people. I've gotten friendlier with a lot of people that I kind of knew from different forums, but I know them a lot better now that we talk with them a lot. Like, I definitely want to do some more stuff with a lot of these guys. You know, I know Ziskoid's done some podcasting. I don't know if he's ever going to get to do another Heroes Points podcast the way that Shag's going. So I'd like to get him in on that. And you guys seem to get on pretty well too, eh?
Oh, yeah. Ziskoid's
you guys get on famously.
Yeah. I think if I checked Ancestry.com, he and I would have leaves close to each other. I don't even know what that means.
Because since we got the mail out of the way, why don't we talk just a little bit, poquito, about some of the stuff that's coming out of San Diego Comic-Con. Okay, so why don't you guys talk about the Star Wars shit, and I'll tune out for a little bit.
Well, they released, like a three-minute little clip that shows some of the behind-the-scenes making of the Star Wars, where they're trying to play up practical effects, real sets, to show that this movie isn't all a bunch of CG garbage.
Like the last trilogy, so... I think it's redeemable. It's going to be definitely... It's going to...
Is your microphone even on? Look at this shit, dude. Look at that.
I think it's redeemable.
Oh, well, imagine that when you talk into it. We got fucking levels. Instead, you were doing this.
He was talking to the nape of the microphone.
I'm so used to the stand, dude. I won't lie. I got a little...
You're used to ignoring it on a stand, so now you're having to ignore it in your hand. I can imagine that's very difficult for you to do. It
takes a lot of energy.
No, anyway, so I just think... I like that they're playing up, that there's more practical effects, and they're actually putting an effort to do shit like that.
A lot of puppeteering.
It's not all Sharknado'd in a fucking... computer somewhere. Some of the other things that have come out, we had the
Ash and Evil Dead. Actually, I was
Ash and the Evil Dead.
I was
Dead.
Fucking rooting as I was watching. I watched it on the tablet as I was getting ready to eat breakfast with the girlfriend, and I was just like, "Yes, yes!" I was very excited for that one. I think I'm going to really enjoy that show.
It looks good,
and I loved the Evil Dead remake. Unlike Fuck It over here,
because that ending was so fantastic.
The whole movie was great.
Oh, that fucking...
I mean, don't get me wrong.
Horrible.
I know that the hypodermic needle sequence, we'll call it, to keep it vague,
yeah,
in case you haven't seen it. But there's this one element of the movie that's completely ridiculous, and it took fix it out of the movie. But I think
no, so it didn't take me out of the movie. Kicked me out of the fucking theater, dude. That was such a horrible scene. I was outside on the fucking corner of the street going, why? Why? Yeah. So I couldn't see why y'all were jerking off to it.
Because the rest of the movie was awesome.
All of the deaths and everything were just excruciating.
You really felt the, oh man. This one had strong body horror. I mean, you could feel on a visceral level the shit that was being, these bodies were being put through. Yeah. You didn't really care too much about the characters, but you felt their pain on a physical level because it was so intense.
I think it was the audio in that movie.
Yeah, good audio.
The cutting sounds. Mm-hmm. And like, oh my gosh. Yeah.
They were smart and they showed you stuff that you needed to see, but they also just let you hear stuff so that you could bring it into your own mind. Yeah. But yeah, no, I really enjoy. I still hope they make a sequel to that. But I think Fed Alvarez directed that one, and I know he went off and he did something else. I would hope they'd get him back if they ever do a sequel. They were talking about it. I thought the movie made good money, right?
I think it did okay.
Did pretty well. So I wish that they, because it's been a few years now. Maybe. Yeah, and Levy, the lead actress.
Yeah.
Ashley, I can't think they call it. Was she Ashley?
Eugene Levy. No, Eugene Levy was the.
What?
Oh.
No, I'm talking about the girl from Suburgia. Suburgatory.
Yeah.
Something Levy. I liked her, and I'd like to see her in another one of the movies. But this is going back to Army of Darkness. It's funny, and it's wild and goofy, and I just think it's going to be a blast. There were so many great money shots throughout that trailer, and right off the bat, the opening gag with the girdle I thought was awesome. So all of it.
Sets the tone.
It's great seeing Bruce Campbell bringing the full effect again, because he's played weakened versions of Ash and a whole bunch of other stuff, which you guys talked about, Burn Notice and other things. So it's nice to see him go full Ash again.
Yeah, and I love that they're going to go way over the top with the gore, too. Like, there's just blood going everywhere, and it's going to... I think it looks very promising.
Well, Starz has been very good about nudity and foul language, and but I don't know if they've done a whole lot of gore. Any of you guys watch like Spartacus or any of that type of stuff?
Nope.
Okay. And I actually have Starz, so I guess you guys will have to come over and we'll watch it together.
I definitely want to check it out.
Yeah, I definitely want to check it out.
Okay. So, hey, the new Superman versus Batman, which we watched, Batman versus Superman, got to get the order of importance right. So we watched that trailer.
Yeah, I thought it looks better than all the other garbage they've shown so far.
Yeah, actually, it kind of piqued my interest.
It's less bad. That's what I say, less bad. I got to watch it again to see the little parts with Wonder Woman, but I don't figure that's my Wonder Woman, so I don't really care that much. I'm just... at least they're doing something with Man of Steel. At least they're making it clear that there are consequences to the stupid shit that happened in that movie.
Yeah.
It just almost feels like they made that movie specifically so they could play out the consequences in the next one. Yeah. So it might be okay. I'm still not digging Jesse Eisenberg. I actually thought I would like him better, but so far he's got an anti-charisma right now.
Not feeling it.
He was grating in the little sections that they showed of him.
The red capes are coming.
Yeah.
The red capes are coming.
That was bad.
Yes, very bad.
Yeah, I've said it before. I don't think anybody's going to come out of this movie looking good. And if anybody's going to come out looking really shitty, it's going to be Superman. He's going to look super shitty in this movie.
Yeah, but, I will say, though, in terms of his actual looks, I like that I can see that he's wearing a red and blue costume now.
Yeah.
He actually does have some color.
I think they adjusted some contrast in there.
Yeah, took enough criticism from the last one.
It's like, maybe we should make sure these people aren't all just like big gray brown shadows moving around on the TV screen.
Anything else?
We got Walking Dead. We want to talk about Walking Dead?
Fear of the Walking Dead looks all right.
Yeah, I think Fear of the Dead looks good. Fear of the Walking Dead looks good.
I like that there's a lot of brown people in it and like one white person, it seems like, note. In the movie.
I didn't notice any colors, but that's weird. That's weird.
It's a post-racial country, so I'm glad for that. But I like that. I like that, you know, it's L.A. It's like, let's have a lot of not white people in that one.
Yeah. I hope they kind of get into the origins of the
I think that's the whole point of the show.
I hope so, because I get that sometimes they like to leave it. We don't know what happens in the end, or we don't know where the origins are. But if you're going to create a whole spinoff that takes place as the outbreak begins, go into some of it. Come on. It's a totally original show.
I kind of like the way they played it up real slow, where you don't see zombies roaming the streets. You see, you know, maybe the lone zombie, but you don't know if it's a homeless guy. That's kind of cool. I like that. But it seemed... Now, am I wrong? Was the world already falling apart, or were...
No, it's just normal world.
Was it still
referring to people just getting sick at this point.
Okay, that's what it was. Because like they showed that one... That
building that kid was in is like Keep Out with all the bodies in it. I didn't.
Yeah, I think that was just like a rundown. I don't know if that was
like a flashback or something.
Okay. Yeah, I think that's an issue where I mean, when you think about it, let's say it is viral, and that seems to be the odds of, because they did the whole thing with the CDC in the first season of Walking Dead. So if it is viral and it is a pandemic, then the first people are going to get hit are the most exposed, which would be homeless.
Sure.
So it makes sense, and they would be one of some of the best people to carry out.
And druggies.
You're not going to look. Like, yeah, you're not going to look closely at them. You already expect them to look fucked up anyway. You're going to keep your distance and try to ignore them. Look straight and walk.
The opinions of Frank do not master's opinion.
Hey, I think of the three of us. People. I think of the three of us, I'm the most likely to actually give people walk up to somebody and give them some money though. So come on, cut me a break.
I gave a homeless guy an entire order of a McDonald's that I got that was completely wrong.
You're a fucking saint, dude.
Thank you. And I'd only taken one bite out of one of the sandwiches, and I told him first. I was like, hey, one of those sandwiches has a bite taken out. The other one is good to go.
Did he like check your teeth before you started eating it?
No.
Wait, was this the one where he said, hey, I want a Coke instead, and you gave him something else?
No. I asked for no mayo, and she put extra mayo. Like, the buns were floating on a cake of mayonnaise. I didn't see any lettuce or hot and spicy chicken. It was just bun, mayonnaise, bun.
Were you an asshole to her? Did you ask
no,
for it?
No, she... You know what? I thought we kind of had something going. And instead, she gave me extra mayo.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Are you sure it was mayo?
I was sure it was mayo. It was repugnant.
Reach into her pants and just like...
Oh, okay, I got all. That's too much. You've went too
yeasty.
Far. Yoli God, yeasty. Lord,
he said yeasty.
So sourdough. You got the sourdough burger.
I did not request this. Guys, will you get back on track?
Sourdough sandwich.
So anyway, yeah, I think that looks good.
Loving it.
So yeah, no. Da 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 da. Is this a Monistat commercial or? All right. I think that's about it, right?
The actual Walking Dead trailer, it looks like they're finally fucking going off book and doing their own thing. Yeah. And now's the perfect time because the Walking Dead comic book is bullshit and has been for like 4 or 5 years now.
I don't read the book, so I don't know.
Yeah. What do you
it's
think?
It's been all right.
I still haven't read that. Like, I stopped reading it, and then I picked up a trade. Walking Dead. I stopped buying the trades. And then
And apparently I'm stopping reading now.
Yeah, by extension. Contingency. But what happened is I bought the first of the trades that I stopped reading for half price at Comicpalooza.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to read it because they were soliciting another trade, and I was like, well, let me read this one and see if I want to order it. And I realized, well, there'd been one more after that because they've been shipping them rapidly since it went bi-weekly for the summer for All Out War. So once I realized that I'd already missed one anyway, I just blew it off and I haven't bothered to read that last one that I picked up. And that's the one where they jump like 6 months or so into the future. So
oh, really?
I'll read it. If it doesn't completely suck, I might go back and buy those issues, but I haven't read it yet. But prior to that, the book had been stagnant for years, and All Out War was a pussy fucking event.
Well, it was getting kind of repetitive a little bit.
It's weak.
Because they run into a big bad villain. They figure a way to get around a big bad villain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the worst thing about it was the Negan story arc was not too bad. Huh?
Negan?
Well, yeah, but the ending, because it's like nothing really was accomplished in that story arc. Everybody's pretty much in the place where they were before. So, if Negan coming and then letting Negan going doesn't matter because they ended up returning to a status quo instead of advancing the story in any significant way.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but the trailer looks good. I would like to see Rick pull a heel turn. It'd be interesting to see everybody, a group aligned against Rick and have a chance.
That's what it looks like occurs for sure.
Well, Rick's a dick, so I'd be happy to see him get overthrown. I think that would fuck with the dynamics of the show in a way that would be appealing, would make it more interesting and more daring.
My favorite part is when Rick goes, Carl, Carl, Carl. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things that may unite this country is everyone hoping that Carl dies.
I like Carl.
Fuck Carl.
No, I like Carl. I like Carl more than Rick.
Forget that kid. What are you talking about, dude? Yeah. Rick is a badass.
Rick is the white oppressor. He is the...
Oh, my God.
No, seriously. He's the guy that...
Oh, my God.
Look, he's the hero of the guys that got all pissed off about the choirs in the last season and the choir kissing, and I can't watch that show because of those homos. He's their hero.
Because
Rick is that fucking white boy, redneck, dictatorial, Rick-tatorial kind of guy. He's the boss. He's in charge. He's the default leader of the group. His word is the law, and nobody is as good as him. And if they're not going to survive unless they all fall behind the redneck, educated white guy who formerly held a position of authority and now exerts it over everybody who's a survivor in the fucking zombie zombie apocalypse. Even people who don't want his motherfucking authority.
Yeah, but
I hate that motherfucker. I'm so tired of that guy. The only thing that I like about him is
I think he keeps getting better and better.
The only thing I like, well, he's definitely been better in recent seasons when he stopped being a total fucking useless, horrible leader. He's actually at least effective.
That's what I'm saying. He's turning into Shane.
Well, yeah, and the governor.
He's gone full Shane.
He's definitely gone full Shane.
Going, now he's full Shane. Some governor,
which is good. Well, but Shane was a better Shane. By the way,
Shane's a Punisher.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yeah, we never talked about that.
No, because the thing is my Punisher was Joe Manganiello. I've already got a whole Marvel movie mapped out of Joe Manganiello as the Punisher. But since that's not going to happen, John Bernthal is an excellent alternative.
Yeah. Yes, you can tell like that dude's going to have some serious mental problems.
Oh, sure, he is the John Romita Jr. Punisher for sure.
Yes, yeah. that's that.
And what's cool is I think they actually tweeted an image from a Daredevil Punisher crossover that happened in the first year of Punisher Comics, which is one of my favorite Punisher stories. And I think it's just a great moment in comic storytelling because they did a Rashomon thing where one of the stories is the Punisher side of what happens and the other is Daredevil side of what happens. And you can see where they get things wrong and get things right between the two of them. And they just have two very strong different perspectives on what they're doing.
Right.
I thought it was a great, great story. And I wish they would do more crossovers like that where they had a point beyond being a chapter in a big stupid serial like the 1940s.
Yeah, I'm interested for that.
We still got to finish watching Daredevil. Mr. Fuckit watched it, so we can't do anything else with him for the rest of the podcast. It.
Is anything else interesting come from Comic-Con
2000?
No Marvel stuff. Any Marvel movie stuff?
No.
Isn't that weird?
No, because when you announce your movie slate through 2020, what else are you going to throw out there?
Oh.
I know Wesley Snipes said that he had some talks with Marvel about trying to do another Blade movie.
Shit.
That's not going to happen.
Nah.
That's not going to happen. Now, they could license it out to another studio since it is.
If he popped into Daredevil, maybe.
That's what I was thinking, is they could have him cameo in other parts of the Marvel Universe and use that as a way to incorporate it, because there's nothing in the Blade movies, aside from the fact that they're R-rated, that would prohibit them from taking place in the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Of course, Wesley Snipes is a lot older now. Prison was not kind to Wesley Snipes.
We just got another comment from Siskoid.
Oh, yeah. A comment or a tweet?
Comment.
Okay.
On our WordPress blog. It says, at age 16, I really rated Real Men with Jim Belushi and John Ritter. There's every chance it actually stinks. I can't think of a better role/performance he's had in the movies, though. Siskoid's blog of geekery is pretty popular. I don't accept your premise.
But Siskoid, I remember having a pretty good little following, and he got a lot of comments on his posts. And he's probably not popular compared to, I don't know, Comics Alliance or something, but he seemed to be pretty popular amongst our group at the very least.
Siskoid, quit fucking beating yourself up and being so damn modest.
Fix it. What'd you think about John Bernthal as a Punisher?
Did I miss something?
Talking to the microphone.
Did I miss something?
Yeah, you know that Shane from Walking Dead is going to play the Punisher.
Oh, yeah, I heard about it. Yeah, he picked up. Yeah, I saw on Twitter he took a picture with a stack of Punisher comics or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. Hey, they gave him some good ones. He had Circle of Blood. That's the most important one to have in his hands.
He kind of does look like the Punisher.
He does.
Looks like the damn Punisher.
I think he pulled it off.
Yeah,
but okay, is it going to be a standalone or is it going to be?
He's going to be throughout season two, from what I understand.
Of Daredevil,
because I know they said they mentioned that Elektra. Someone's playing Elektra. Right.
Yeah, the Elodie Young. Who's hot and exotic looking, actively pushed people away. So that probably helps. I've not had a lot of experience with her as an actress, but the fact that she's hot and exotic looking is kind of hits two of the major points when it comes to Elektra. Oh, and she, I think, knows martial arts. So those are three major points in her favor in playing Elektra.
So are y'all going to finally finish watching Daredevil?
We will. We were just discussing how we were going to work that out.
We're getting to it.
I hope so.
Yeah, well, see, the thing of it is it makes sense because that's something we can telecomment on. He and the missus can watch it, and me and Keitha can watch it, and then we can call each other and talk about it. Okay. And then eventually when we get to the end of the season, we can talk to you about it so you don't fuck up the show for us.
Yeah, because you're.
I haven't said nothing.
I know you've been good.
Wait. He's gonna just wait till you get to season 8 and this happens. Don't worry, it's not a big part. We've been through this.
Do you want to? We do this right now.
Man, look. Was there anything else from San Diego Comic Con
that we saw?
Hey, what game are you playing now? Is it the same game or is it a different game?
Same game, but I'm about to start. What is that one called?
League of Legends, Clash of Clans.
Clash of Clans.
Sorry, they all alliterate.
I don't know what
Heroes
are they going to be releasing stuff all day, like trailers like that? Like as soon as they release it there, then they'll release it on the web?
Pretty near now, yeah. Because otherwise, some guy with a cell phone is going to steal all your thunder.
I was actually looking on pictures of Comic-Con, and at least it seemed less comic-y and more...
Well, they've been doing that for a while now.
Hey,
really?
I want to give a shout-out to our new follower, Metallica Songs. Just popped up and hit my phone.
Is Metallica Songs different from Metallica Lyrics?
Yep. I wonder if he's going to post the top 10 hottest jailbait on the internet right now. Jesus. Neil Young Songs just posted... girls who clearly forgot how to act like ladies, and there's a shot of a chick with her legs spread in the back of a car. Hey, shout out Neil Young songs.
I'm glad that Neil Young's around to tell young ladies how to act.
Sweet Caroline.
No, that's Neil Diamond, dude.
Wait, that's right. Neil Young is hey, old man, right?
Huh?
Old man, take a look at me now.
Yeah. That's old your man. Song and you're fucking it up.
Old man, take a look at me. Dun, dun, dun.
Oh. Mash up.
Oh, man.
Red wine.
Where the fuck did that come from?
That was Fine Young Cannibals.
Yeah. She drives you crazy.
Ooh, ooh. Like no one else. Ooh, ooh, ooh. She drives me crazy. I can't help myself.
Hold on. I'm scrolling through the way I feel.
God. Well, anyway, I was looking at pictures. It was like every picture I saw, you didn't see any comic books.
Yeah, because the comic book guys have all pulled out SDCC because the media stuff's going to trump them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're probably going to show some X-Men Apocalypse stuff, I'm guessing.
Ooh, that'd be kind of cool to see.
Well, they showed some shots of random destruction that I think Brian Singer tweeted out.
Yeah, but they got
to,
maybe.
So, you've been to Comic-Con, right, Frank?
One time.
So, tell us about it, buddy.
Yeah, was...
Man, that was 15 fucking years ago.
Longer than that.
So, when it was actually Comic-Con.
Yeah, it was still the San Diego Comic-Con, not just SDCC or just San Diego.
Yeah.
It's big. It's really big.
Hey, San Diego Comic-Con, Warner Brothers debuts new Man from U.N.C.L.E. trailer. Do we care about that?
It looked cute, but no.
No.
I'm trying to see what other... I'm going through CBR's timeline.
It's interesting that a guy who was going to play Superman and a guy who did get to play Superman worked together to appear in one of the movies.
Official Jessica Jones photos.
Yeah. I'm still looking forward to that. I like Kristen Ritter.
You think so?
I just like Kristen Ritter. So Kristen Ritter and Marvel property, it's like, okay, I'm already pre-sold.
Oh, here you go. Snipe says conversations with at Marvel continue beyond Blade.
Yeah. Yeah, he's going to probably pop up in Black Panther or something because he tried to get the Black Panther movie made for years.
Forever ago.
Talking about that years ago.
So, and did they cast T'Chaka yet? Didn't they announce an actor for T'Chaka?
For T'Chaka or T'Challa?
T'Chaka. T'Chaka's in the movie.
I don't know about T'Chaka.
Okay. Well, T'Chaka is going to be in the movie, and I assume that T'Chaka is either going to die in the movie or they're going to completely alter Black Panther's origin. But he's going to be in the Black Panther movie for sure. And a matter of fact, he might even be in Civil War.
I can't wait for them to ruin that movie with previews for the next movie they're going to make.
Hey. Well, I hope Andy Serkis makes a return as Ulysses Klaue for that.
I think it's a given. I think that's guaranteed. Yeah, there would be no point in spending that much time with him in Avengers if he's not going to turn up in Black Panther.
He was a cool villain.
He's essential to the origin, and he's got the accent fucking down. Yeah. So yeah.
Hey, who is this? Who's Diane Ruggiero? Creator of iZombie wants to write the Wonder Woman movie.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't.
One hand shit and the other, see which one fills up first.
Wow.
Well,
I mean, how did iZombie end up doing? I only watched the pilot.
I've seen it, but
I watched the pilot and I let the DVR keep recording episodes, and then my DVR fried out, and now I lost those episodes and pretty much all of my interest. And it's sad too because I was really kind of liking the commercials. I was kind of hyped to see it, and then having seen it, it was just Veronica Mars with extra zombie action.
Someone actually told me if you like Veronica Mars, you'll like iZombie.
Yeah, it's a Veronica Mars show. It's not a zombie show. It's not a DC show. And I read the first issue of the comic, and it wasn't like that at all. So no, I do like that they're using Michael Allred art throughout that show, though.
I don't think we'll be seeing it in my house. Anything else come out, Matt?
IDW teases Micronauts and ROM projects.
Yeah, right after I said that they took their ROM material and turned it into an Onyx miniseries, so I wonder about that.
And nothing else is looking good.
Yeah, okay. Let's close it out then.
All right.
How long is this, by the way?
Right now we're at 40 minutes.
Shit, really?
Well, a lot of it is us fucking
we'll edit the shit out of it, though. Yeah.
A lot of it's there's a lot of dead air.
I'm just going to take the key stuff out of there, yeah.
Okay. Okay,
export the bitch.
So I hit stop, right?
You hit stop, yes. That was the Marvel Superheroes Podcast. Is in no way affiliated or endorsed by Marvel Entertainment. All characters mentioned and audio clips employed are believed covered under fair use, but remain copyright the respective copyright holders. But of course, the views expressed are wholly owned by the people who spoke them. No infringement is intended.
Tap, 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 tap.
Yeah.
Oh.
your mic?
Tappity tap tap.
Just tap the mic.
That's quite a bit of dead air.
Right. Lots there. Of dead air.
Right. Oh, no, no, no. Yeah, no, it's going to get out of
here. We got a lot of dead air.
We never did read a special or the what if or any of that shit, so.
There's a what if?
Huh? Yeah, what if it Annihilation Wave had reached Earth. I got it from you through Fryhole. Oh, I think I gave it back to you. I don't think I have it in my possession anymore. Totally okay. That's okay. We'll deal with that some other time or never.
No, let's never read any of this stuff ever again.
Okay. I still want to do Annihilation Conquest. Okay. I don't know if you guys are going to do it, but.
Well, that leads up to King's War, right?
I have no interest in fighting reading War of Kings. That's the one with Kings. Black Bolt and the Shi'ar and shit.
Yeah, but I think that Conquest ends with that, doesn't it? Or it starts that.
Okay, maybe I don't want to read Conquest after all.
I believe so.
We'll see how it goes.
Because then that's
we'll
play how the Cancer Verse, the whole. Now,
the that, see, I'd like to check out the Cancer Verse stuff because that gets into the Magus. But let's not touch any of that shit until we can go back and read the old Warlock stuff and the Cap,
yeah, yeah.
The Marvel
see,
stuff.
I'd be more interested in going back to some of the older stuff.
Yeah, let's read that. And then we can deal with this other stuff later on.
Before we start talking about the fucking Bendis run.
Oh, fuck, yeah.
Or the Hickman run.
Well, actually,
Hickman never did it.
It doesn't matter.
Okay. I just got the new Jim Starlin book. So.
You learned through osmosis the Hickman thing.
This is the Mac version of all comic books since 2000. There's a Hickman run. There's a Bendis run.
And Brubaker.
And a Geoff Johns run of everything. And I don't care if there is or not. If you say any of those three names, I haven't read it and it's new to me.
Yeah, because all those... Well, no, Bendis was around before you left. He was doing Daredevil, I think.
Okay, ask me how many Brian Michael Bendis Daredevil issues I read.
Any?
Zero.
Okay.
And now apparently he writes every Marvel comic book that comes out.
Yeah.
Which is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Oh, hey, off topic, if you do stay till 3 o'clock in the morning, we're going to watch some Daredevil.
Oh, shit. I keep forgetting about Daredevil.
Yeah, me too.
Damn,
but
we could be watching...
I don't want to hear a fucking word out of you.
I watched the last three episodes and that's it, I'm done.
Okay. Well, I still don't want to hear a fucking word out of you because we've got to watch another...
Actually, I started watching Powers.
Yeah, but I don't give a shit.
That's pretty decent.
I'm glad you're enjoying that. I don't want nothing to do with that. I would have actually watched the first incarnation when they had the Jason Patrick guy because that seemed kind of working for me. But once Charlton Copley is your star, I don't want anything to do with your shit.
Why?
Because it's Charlton Copley. The only thing that guy ever did that was worth a damn was District 9. And he was playing
a
big broad character.
A-team.
He was playing fucking Murdoch. Crazy guy.
Yeah.
No, Murdoch was... I thought Murdoch was George Pappard's character.
No, that's Face is pretty boy.
Face is, I know who Face is.
Murdoch was the crazy one.
Okay.
And...
Oh, Hannibal.
Hannibal.
Okay. I only liked Mr. G when I was a kid, so...
You would.
Holy shit, we're fucking done with Annihilation. I never thought it would happen.